Michael Rama.
Hello, Dottie. It's me, Pee-wee.
Where are you calling from?
Texas.
Where?
Honest. Listen, I'll prove it.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Wait, don't hang up.
Listening to Nowhere Moment, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find.
Yeah, I was driving by. I saw you on the lawn. I thought there was going to be a problem at first, you know, before I recognized you. Terry Rostand. How you doing? PHS.
Terry Rostand. Oh, yeah, you were always the guy who was...
Yeah,
I remember you.
Yeah, 86.
Yeah, cool. How you doing, man? You look good. You became a cop. Nice badge.
Oh, no. I'm not a peace officer. No. This badge isn't a meaningful symbol or anything. It's just a badge of my company, you know. We don't enforce the law. We just execute company policy for homeowners.
Oh, I get it. Cool. Well, you mind talking a little shop?
Sure.
When are you authorized to use deadly force?
Oh, well, you know, of course, you know, taxes provide your basic service, police and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
But our customers need a little bit more than that, you know. So if we find you on the property, you know, we do what we have to do.
So if I just look suspicious on your customer's property under those, you know, heightened circumstances, you have the authority to shoot me?
Correct.
Wow. All right. How'd you get the gig?
Oh, you know, they were hiring.
This here's a 24-piece combination set, hardly ever been used.
I am aware of that. My offer is still $3.
$3? Come on, man. I ain't giving this shit away.
I'm sorry. Did I come into your place of business and ask you to take a crappy wrench set off my hands? We're done.
Huh?
I don't want your wrench set.
Get out.
Asshole.
Kiss your mama with that mouth?
I sure do. If she were still alive.
Drew, come forward.
Yes, chef, this is a chicken quiche with cremini mushrooms, baby spinach, and feta cheese.
Unbelievable. Well, Drew, I have a huge problem with this dish. It's that you haven't made it for me sooner.
Thank you, chef.
Because if you had, Drew, then I would know how good you are at cooking food that's bad.
I'm sorry, chef.
And when I say bad, I mean Michael Jackson bad.
Thank you, chef.
You know how he looked really, really bad at the end of his life?
Chef? I'm sorry, I don't know if you like the dish or not.
You don't know if I like the dish or not? Well, let's put it this way. Pack your knives, get out, you're off the show.
Sorry, chef.
Because you should be working in the finest restaurants in the world.
Thank you, chef.
Just not any world that I live in. In conclusion...
Hello, Napoleon.
Hey, Pedro.
You're pathetic. You know what you need?
What?
Shakabuku.
You want to tell me what that means?
It's a swift spiritual kick to the head that alters your reality forever.
Oh, that'd be good. I think.
Boom! Yeah! It's time for the No Larry Mulberry Show! Ha ha ha! Hi everyone, I am the J Strom. Welcome to the show. It's time for film, television, and pop culture talk. It is Friday. It's time to talk movies. And we have Steven the Pop Culture Zealot!
Yay.
Hey Steven, you're my number one guy. Quick, what's the movie reference, Steven? We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
That is just pathetic.
Which
That's
part?
Terrible.
That Steven didn't get it, or
yeah.
My impression?
Well, I thought the impression was pretty uncanny.
Oh, thank you.
I was scared shitless.
You are my number one guy. Who does it sound like? Kinda?
Come on, Steven.
All right, Bill, you do it. You tell him.
It's... come on. Really?
I'm just blanking right now.
Yeah. It's the Joker. It's the Jack...
Yes. We could have heard
you know
that.
The scene with Jack Palance?
I don't know, Bill. Yes, you're right, but you're auto-tuning. Damn it.
God.
Go ahead and sing a tune for us.
No.
All right, go on hold just for a second and come right back.
All right.
All right, Bill's teasing us. Hey, where'd he go? I hope he comes back. Where are you?
I've resumed the call.
All right, I think everything's okay.
All right.
All right. Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to Nowhere Mulberry. And, Bill, you were right. It was Jack Nicholson as the Joker doing his Jack Palance impression from Batman. The movie, directed by Tim Burton.
Two greats in one scene there.
My number one guy. Do you remember that now? Yeah, that's gold, Jerry.
Anytime I think of Jack Palance, most people think of him in...
City Slickers.
City Slickers, but I think of him in Outlaw, in the Sword and Sorcery movie that MST3K did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think of him in... Tango and Cash. There's this hilarious part in the movie that if you think about it, makes no sense at all in the context of the movie. He's doing this big conversation on how he's going to get a Tango and Cash. Mm. He has this giant maze table with mice in it or rats or hamsters or whatever. This
rodents.
This whole scene a screenwriter came up with, so they had to build. Some prop guy was like, oh, shit, I got to build a maze table now. And for this scene with mice, okay, these are Tango and Cash and stick them in the maze. And I got to use that scene for an intro. But without the visual, it just doesn't work. But it's the most ridiculous scene ever because if you realize if there was no maze table, the scene wouldn't work at all.
No.
They went to a freaking flea market or something, and they're like, hey... maze table. How can we use this in our movie? That we're in? I know. Let's write it in. Awesome.
I always do the, that guy crap bigger than me.
Oh, and Robert Zadar. He's great in that movie, too.
Oh, God. There's so much greatness in Tango and Cash.
There really is. It's genius.
It has that weird guy that makes the super truck. He's like a strange little man.
Little Weasley guy. I wish I knew
his
name.
Yeah, he was in Scrooged also.
Yeah, he puts the Gatling gun on their car. It's really a silly movie.
Because it's useful.
Uh-oh. We just dropped Bill.
You know what you need? Shakabuku.
Oh, Bill's gone. Oh, great.
You want to tell me what that means?
What does he
dropped out? A swift spiritual kick to the head that alters your reality forever.
All right, Bill, I'm calling you back.
Well, this is starting off promising.
Yeah, what the fudge is going on here? How about this, Bill? Let's talk about what we have on the show this week. Bill, I felt so bad. Steven said, you could have called me today. I was off today. I could have Chronicle with you. And I went, oh! Because I went to see it, go see it with my dad at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like this big construction going on at the end of the theater. And finally I asked, I go, so are you guys expanding, adding more theaters in there? And the girl goes, no, it's going to be state-of-the-art digital picture and sound over 300-seat theater. And it's like, oh, did you? They make you memorize that?
Oh, they're making an – it's at Cinemark, so they're making an XD theater.
Yes, and an XD theater is coming. I'm excited.
It's like there's various theater chains throughout the United States that are doing that. It's wall-to-wall screen, and it's enormous. It's absolutely an enormous screen, and Cinemark has those, and Marcus Cinemas have those. They call them Ultra Screens.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's really cool. The Cinemark in Zanesville doesn't have it because it's backwoods, but I'm so jealous.
So am I going to like it, you think?
Oh, yeah, because it's like she said, it is state-of-the-art screen and sound,
it made
digital.
She made it sound like they said, here's this card, take it home and memorize it.
When people ask you what's going on, this is what you say.
Yeah, that was
don't
funny.
Improvise. Don't improvise.
Kiss your mama with that mouth.
Now, we have a shitload of voicemails. Here's what's funny. Last week's show, I was like, the voicemail, K7 voicemail, took a crap. I don't know why it's not working anymore. Just whatever. It sucks. But then when I was listening to the show, listening back, I'll like take notes to do as I put the show up. I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it real quick. K7.com or whatever. And add it, you know, get a new number or whatever. Worked.
They must have heard the show last week and got their shit together.
It gave me
a new... Oh, it's so embarrassing.
It didn't give us our old voicemail number. Apparently that's expired now. So it gave me a new one. And I didn't. I just did all the default settings, which I shouldn't. And I made a new voicemail, gave the number out. And then I noticed that I had the lower sound quality selected. And I was like, oh, shit. I want to change it. And
that just won't do.
I couldn't figure out how to do it. So I had to create a new voicemail with PCM sound quality. So it'll be much better. So
it's wave quality.
Yes, wave
quality. Ride the wave.
Yes. So I'm excited to have a new voicemail number. And I'm going to give it out right now, guys. It's 1-206-202-1298. That's the new Nowhere in Mulberry voicemail number. So if you want to send us voicemail, you do it, buddy. All right? And I'll be really happy.
You're pathetic.
Hey. But also, Bill, we saw Chronicle. Steven, sorry you didn't get to. I'll try not to spoil much, but we're going to talk about that coming up soon.
I wish I just went and seen it.
I know. I was going to see it by myself, and then, you know, my dad had just texted me, and I go, hey, Dad, do you want to go see this movie? And he was like, yes, in all capitals. And I was like, all right, let's go. So that was pretty cool.
Now that's cool.
We were live on the feed playing music right before the show started, Bill, and I got a voicemail. So I have no idea who this is from.
A mystery voicemail.
Or even if it is a voicemail. It could be a false alarm. Sometimes it's just a pick up and hang up or whatever.
Maybe, you know, it's one of those political polls.
Yeah, it could be
that. I got two of those today.
I'm a Michael Jackson bat.
Yeah, it could be Michael Jackson.
I don't know who got my number, but I was so embarrassed. During the movie, I was kind of freaking out because I was like, this movie's only 84 minutes long, and it's almost over. And I don't want it to end. What time is it? Like, I do this sometimes, especially whenever Lost was on the air. I'd always look at the clock to see how much time was left.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So I turned my phone on accidentally.
Oh.
And I actually got a call, like, right when I turned the phone on. And I was like, son of a bitch!
Unbelievable.
I hope the audience in the theater thought it was in the movie.
I had a major problem in the movie because we'll talk about the movie in a bit. But just this one story is I had to pee so goddamn bad.
What's wrong with you? Go pee before.
I did. I drained my bladder, but I'm sitting up there and I'm like, shit, I didn't get it all. I got to go again. And
I didn't get it all.
I don't know what point. It was still kind of early in the movie. I was like, I got to do it. Jason, you have to run as fast as you can evacuate your bladder as fast as you can and run back here.
Grunt that shit out of there.
I think I did it in a minute, and I was on the top row, stadium seating. I was like, ran, you know, it's a, I don't know, it's about 20 feet to the restroom. I was like, just ping, like a friggin' fire hose.
You bored a hole in the back of the urinal.
Well, they have they're green. They don't have any paper towels, so it's just the air dryer. I go, screw it. So I wash my hands completely wet as I'm running back. So I kind of reach behind and I'm drying on my back.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's exactly what I do. I hate that. Yep. It's like, just give me one paper towel, please.
So I ran, you know, I run all the way up to the top row, and I sit down, and I'm like, and my dad leans over, he goes, you missed absolutely nothing. And I went, oh, thank God. I mean, I went fast, really fast.
That's all. That's in both ways.
All right, so let's start our first voicemail, and I have no idea who it is. Let's check it out.
Hey, Nowhere Mulberry, how you doing? My name is Jim. I'm from Massachusetts. This is my first time calling.
Cool.
But I just wanted to let you guys know how much I enjoy your podcast. You do an unbelievable job. I bring your podcast into work on my phone every week. I've been catching up on a lot of the old episodes. I'm a new listener. I got recommended through Hollywood Saloon. But I just enjoy your talk on Kitchen Nightmares, and I used to watch a show every week, but I kind of let it go for a while, and now I've actually been trying to watch it more and more often. But you guys do a great job. Just wanted to let you know that, and I look forward to hearing your new shows. I'm going to try to get on there tonight. It's Friday and the 3rd of February. Listen to the show live, maybe get into the chat room, enjoy some time listening to you guys, and hopefully chatting with you at the same time. All right. Hope you guys have a good show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Jim. That's awesome.
Sweet.
I didn't have a chance to levelate it either, but thank you, Jim. That's awesome. It's always cool to get a voicemail from a new person, and welcome to the club. Huh?
And the Hollywood Saloon's still bringing them to us. I actually talked to Andy this week. I haven't been on – normally Andy and I play on – or all of us play on Xbox Live, but Star Wars The Old Republic has – yeah, stolen my time, and before that it was Skyrim on the PC. So I actually talked to Andy this week for probably the first time in weeks. It was strange.
Wow, yeah. I haven't talked to him. I commented on something on his on Facebook, but I haven't talked to him in a long, long time. But that's cool that people, you know, listen to the saloon and they listen to us or whatever. That's so awesome.
Yeah, we definitely have a community. There's a group of shows that, although we're not like a podcasting network, right, we definitely influence one another's audiences.
I know, that is cool. I remember one time, I know we talked about this before, but Steven and I went to a podcast meetup.
Yes, the podcast Pickle.
And I've never felt so uncomfortable in my life. And all the podcasts they do, I don't even remember what they were, but they were all lame as shit, weren't they?
There was all kinds. Yeah. It didn't matter.
I do a podcast about screwdrivers. You know, there's different kinds. There's flatheads. There's Phillips heads. And
I prefer the Phillips.
Oh, wait.
There's Torx.
Yeah, there's the kind that, you know, they have the weird shapes. Now. You know? Yeah, and it's like, wow, that's really interesting. Whoa.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
That's right, Pee-wee.
That podcast about the basement in the Alamo is fantastic.
I know. I love it.
You would never think there would be so much information about the basement in the Alamo.
All right. We have another voicemail. This one from Adam. Hey, Adam.
What's up, Nowhere in Mulberry? It's Adam from the Bay Area. And man alive, 4-hour special. What are you kidding? What are you kidding? It was awesome. I loved it. I loved every second of it. It was so good. I just want to say that I really enjoyed all the voicemails that came pouring in. I really appreciate Mike from Ireland sending more and more messages in, because that's just good. I like hearing more and more feedback from the show. It's cool to see how just parts that everybody enjoys out of the show, you know. So that was cool. I'm glad you guys had good holidays. I'm glad to hear some things about the NIMH Movie Minis. And about that, you guys got me really fired up to watch RoboCop, because I know I want to see it so I can listen to the movie mini, But you guys just talking about how you know, like Bill saying, Adam's a, you know, he's a nice guy, but man, this is a pretty gruesome movie. It's kind of harsh, you know, and that's cool. I'm really looking forward
Adam's
to it.
Have
and me and my buddy Jeff, who also listens to the show, he said he's never seen it, so we may watch it together.
Oh, nice.
You know, and
now that'll be fun.
Have to call you guys and then listen to the NIMH movie mini. But anyways, I just wanted to say that Bill, I have an idea for like a blog or for like a video blog that I want to do, and it's about growing up, you know, in the 80s and being a part of this pop culture type thing, but still missing out on key elements of it. For example, I've never seen Ghostbusters. You know, I've never seen RoboCop.
Oh,
I had never seen
Ghostbusters. No, don't
and
say
Bill
that.
Bill was saying, like, perfect, like, he was putting it into words perfectly, because I think there's probably several people out there that have seen those movies that would like to kind of relive it through someone else's eyes. And it's not like I'm young. It's not like I was born in 95 and now I'm watching these. I grew up with it, and I knew it. And when I see Ghostbusters stuff or RoboCop stuff, I get, like, excited because I know it's, like, pop culture stuff, but I've never experienced the movie for myself. So it'd be kind of neat to see that, but it was kind of cool hearing that conversation go down. And I am fired up to see it. But I was happy about the Buddy Velastro thing. When I first listened to the show, he said, "Disappointing! Very disappointing!" Or something like that. And I thought, oh, I hope Foggy makes a drop out of that. And then I listened to the whole show, and I didn't hear it. So I was like, dang it, they didn't, you know, Foggy didn't make a drop out of it. But then on my second listen, I caught it. Foggy used it later in the show. The girls on The Bachelor, just hilarious. Who is she? Like, that was hilarious, hilarious stuff. Also, Emma being on the show, that was so cool. And Bill did such a good job of, like, picking the right stories and explaining things to her. And she's pretty sharp. She seems pretty sharp anyways. But still, like, it was just really cool and it was really cute. And I enjoyed her being on there. So I think someone in the on Facebook in the fan club mentioned something about how she's almost going to be like, she needs her own NIM nickname. And I agree. It's cool. And I think it'd be cool to have her on more often. I always get excited every time I hear her on there. So anyways, guys, I know I've rambled on, but very happy about the 4-hour show. Like I said, I experienced a good 8 hours of NIM this week because I listened to it twice.
Awesome.
And it was good stuff.
That's a lot of NIM.
So Jason, Steven, and Bill, I hope to hear from you guys soon on episode 252. And until then, I'll be listening to some Lunchtimes and some Old School. Have a good week. Have a good show if you record tonight. See ya.
Thank you, Adam. That was an awesome voicemail. And I must say, the sound quality was awesome.
Yeah. I like that he makes his own drops. That's my favorite.
Oh, I know. And he's doing that thing that Rick does where he will actually record his voicemail on his iPhone.
Yeah.
Into an
MP4
file. And anybody, you guys can email me that at nimpodcast@gmail.com and I could use it. And it sounds brilliant.
You know, if we talked about it last week, I got to bring it up again. Ghostbusters. I mean, that's one of those movies that
when he said that, Bill, I was like, holy shit, what the hell?
Well, that's one of those movies I get really excited about because that's another one of those films that I saw way, way, way too young. I saw it when it was in the theater. What year was that? 84?
Yeah. Everybody
I saw it in
did.
The theater.
Was
I was 5
movie.
Years old.
So I want to know this. If Adam, I hold nothing against you. That's fine. You know, maybe your parents are really protective. They didn't want you to. I can honestly understand if they didn't want you to see RoboCop. Maybe Ghostbusters may have been too scary for you. But, I mean, does Adam even know who, like, certain actors are from that era? Like, who's Bill Murray? Do you think it gets that bad?
Oh, I'm sure. Bill Murray has transcended Peter
Like, if I
Peter
said,
Beckman,
hey Adam, Sigourney Weaver's in the movie, he'd be like,
who is she?
I mean, I might more understand that he may not go back as far as maybe Caddyshack or something. It's a little older movie.
I think the reason
it's an O.
If you think about it, maybe the reason we were exposed to a lot of the movies I can remember my Uncle Paul, who live with my grandmother, him watching inappropriate movies for my age, you go, hey, Jason, you got to come see this. This movie called Porky's. And I'm like, all right, I'll go in here. And I'm watching Porky's,
yeah,
you know, at a young age. And, you know, his tallywhacker, you know.
What's a glory hole?
Yeah. It's like, I shouldn't know these. Yeah. Why is it called Pee-wee? And it's like, I shouldn't know these things. You know what I mean?
Well, I had three older sisters.
A big
That's Foggy's only Pee-wee drop, apparently.
Yeah, I had three older sisters, so they kind of dictated, and I always wanted to be a part of things. And luckily, and somewhat unluckily, they would always be like, "Yeah, come on,
yeah,
well, we want to see you scared shitless in Ghostbusters." You know how many nightmares I had when Dickless shuts down the containment grid, and those ghosts start coming, and it's that song that, please, please.
Well, I can remember, like, weekends, my grandparents would drop us off at the mall. They'd pick us up, like, at 5 later on, so we'd have all day. We could go to a movie or whatever and go see, you know, Cheech and Chong or Ghostbusters or whatever, and, you know, my dad, who worked all the time, when we were home from school or the summertime, we're, you know, cable's on TV. We're watching whatever we want. We watch Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield about 500 times.
HBO was a real portal. Whenever you got that wood-paneled cable box with the push buttons on top.
Yeah, I'll never forget.
I had the one before that, the little slider.
I'll never forget my buddy Ray, who would come over to our house. He had a more strict household back then, and he would like be quoting stuff from like Weird Science or something, like, how about a greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray or whatever? And his grandmother would be, what are you talking about over
there? What's wrong
with you,
Rodney?
Or he would be mentioning like something from Red Dawn. What is that Red Dawn movie about? And he's like, it's Russians. They take over America, and these kids have to kill them and stuff. She goes, what? Where did you see that? Over at Jason's, you know, and be like, oh, shut up, dude.
You're not allowed back.
But I realized that, you know, not everyone is like so like, hey, you can watch whatever you want. My dad was never very restricting.
You can watch what you want to.
Yeah. You can leave your old pants behind. But
see, once I got older, my dad started watching. We watched B-horror movies. My dad was into that stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally. I would see movies with my Aunt Florence.
I Spit on Your Grave.
Horrible.
Oh, my God.
I remember watching that with my dad.
How old were you when you saw I Spit on Your Grave?
I was the same way, dude.
14, 15.
Yeah, you know what? I was even younger.
My dad would try to make us see whatever horror movie, no matter how scary. I saw Friday the 13th, the original, as a little kid on a weekend, you know, in the theater. Scared shitless, by the way.
I didn't see them in the theater, but I was more the VHS age.
Dude, I saw Alien in the theater, and I believe my mom was a huge wimp when it came to horror movies. And I was like, I'm scared, Mom. And she goes, I am too. And we left. We left the theater.
I don't, you know what? That movie still scares me. I mean, I can put it on, and I still get that really, really unsettled feeling while watching it. I have a hard time sitting through Alien.
No, I don't I always now. Will. When I was a little kid, I was scared shitless, though. And that's not a movie for a little kid. And again, I ask my dad, hello, what were you thinking taking a little kid to see Alien?
Poor John Hurt.
That's why I'm so warped now, you know? And I do dig Alien. I'm not afraid of it now. But something like The Exorcist or whatever, even the freaking commercials on TV scared the shit out of me. And all they would play
Exorcist was the one movie that I refused to watch. I remember my sister Shaylin, she's my youngest sister. We were staying at my dad's apartment over the weekend, and she wanted to see it. And my dad's not going to tell her no.
Yeah.
So she rented it from Curtis Mathis, put it in, and started watching it. And I got so freaked out, I took my blanket, I took my Game Boy, and I went in the closet and stayed there until the movie was over.
Safe haven.
Yeah, I stayed, and it was my dad had a closet under the stairs, like Harry Potter's room, and I just go in there with my Game Boy and a light and my blanket and be like, is it over yet?
You know, The Exorcist, I have to admit, having seen it later on,
It's pretty disturbing.
It's,
still,
I mean, I can watch a lot of really like bad horror movies or even effective horror movies, but there's that element of it's not, you know, it's not real or whatever. There's something about The Exorcist that really is scary and creepy, where the temperature drops in the room as you're watching it, and it's really cold, just like I can see the frost out of my mouth.
We're not alone.
Yeah. But see,
I've got one scene in Poltergeist that gets me, and it's just gross scary. I think we've talked about it before. The pork chop crawling.
Yeah, that's pretty cool though.
It's gross.
Mine is the clown, the crucifix masturbation. That
That wasn't in Poltergeist. Director's cut. No, you're talking about Exorcist.
I'm sorry. Okay.
I'm just talking about scene.
What about in Poltergeist? That's a good question, Bill. Did the clown scare the shit out of you in Poltergeist?
Yes, I've said it before. I still get kind of creeped out by it. That scared me. I wouldn't even dare look under my bed. And it's so screwy that as a kid at night, you're already afraid of the dark. And then now you're in your bed and you're afraid to hang your hand or your foot over the side of the bed because you think the clown is under the bed.
Like in Poltergeist.
Movies, I back at all the movies that screwed me up as a kid.
I love certain movies for that they're so memorable, you remember it your whole life, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I've told Jason many times, and we can't figure out the movie. We think it's called Devil Doll, where the doll, the lady locks herself in the bathroom, and she goes to sit down on the toilet. The lid's down, but the little devil doll comes through the plumbing up through the toilet. And, you know, she's slamming the lid down on it, you know.
Ghoulies.
This
is a little rag-type doll of some sort, and it is evil. And
the only devil doll I know is the MST3K one, where it's a guy possessed by the, like, his old partner.
Like I said, I don't know what the movie title is. It's an old one.
It's probably Devil Doll.
Just go to Google and type in toilet rag doll.
Dude, that'll pull up some websites you don't want to see.
And I guess after that, man, every time I lift the toilet, I had to look before I turned around and sat down to use the restroom.
Dude, I would piss all over that rag doll.
Apparently, there's a cat breed called a rag doll, and it's all these cats using the shitter. I mean, there's tons of them. This is amazing.
Yeah, see, again, it's just I didn't want to look.
I'm in that weird part of YouTube.
Okay, we've got a lot of voicemails, so let's go to a next one. This one from Todd. Hey, Todd, what's up?
Hey, guys, this is Todd from ATL. Just calling to say, hey, it's been a while. I believe I was the one to report the phone number not working when it first started failing you. Just calling to say thank you for the 4 hours of great podcasting. I will forever enjoy you guys just banter back and forth
about
pop culture. It's great. And I hope you guys have a great show tonight. And can't wait to hear it. Bye.
Thanks, dude. You rock. I love when people say they just like us bantering and stuff. That's cool. I'm glad somebody wants to listen to it.
So we're here for.
Now we have another voicemail. This one from KC1. Let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberry Crew. This is KC1. I pop up once in a while in the live show chat room and the Facebook fan group. This is actually my first recorded voicemail.
Right now.
Because I think like a lot of other callers have said, I think the sound of my recorded voice just sounds a little bit goofy. And I actually just called a couple minutes ago and got cut off, so hopefully that voicemail didn't go through. I'm actually calling because I just finished listening to the Nowhere Mulberry Holiday Pack and just finished up RoboCop.
Nice.
And you know, RoboCop is, you know, a great classic movie. It was classic back in the day and stands up pretty well now. But I think it's kind of funny that RoboCop, which is a pretty hardcore rated R movie, was, you know, definitely directed towards kids back in the 80s. I was born in 1982, but I remember I had RoboCop toys. I had, you know, RoboCop himself. I had the Ford Taurus police cruiser that he came with, and I think he also had his partner.
What an awesome toy,
Ford Taurus. Even though this movie was pretty, you know, pretty graphic, pretty violent, Now, I definitely see that it was directed towards kids back in the day. I mean, what kid in the 80s, or what boy in the 80s, I guess, doesn't love a giant robotic cop? And just as a side note, too, I think it's funny, the car they talk about in RoboCop is the, in all the advertising and everything, is a 6000 SUX, which is, you know, the 6000 sucks. And as a kid, damn, that just cracked me up. So just wanted to call and talk about that. I'll stop rambling. Keep up the good work. I love the show. Take it easy.
Thanks, dude. Don't forget about the Robocopter. Remember that commercial last week?
I like it! You know, I wouldn't say the movie was geared to it. I think pop culture had gotten a hold of it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, come on. It's like you said, it's a robot cop.
No, I could see
so
the
boardroom. It was ripe for
a lot of
the
inappropriate
material.
I could see the boardroom of the toy company or whatever. It's like a lot of inappropriate parents have shown RoboCop to their kids, and they love it. I know it's inappropriate, but let's put out some toys. Yeah.
There was only, I think, 12 episodes of it. RoboCop, the animated series.
Wow.
It's like, yeah,
but
it
just...
doing coke off a hooker.
But when you think about it...
Bitches leave.
Back in the 80s, it was... They strived to create cartoons out of anything. I mean, either right. there was a Rambo cartoon, Police Academy cartoon.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Ghostbusters. I love the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
It's great.
Yeah, the writing is really, really funny on it, and there's so much that you catch now that you're an adult that just go over that went totally over your head as a kid.
Yeah, it was well done. I liked it. Now, guys, we have another voicemail, and this one is really weird, and I have no way of setting this up. I'm just going to play it. I don't know if I should be offended or what or not care or just laugh, so I'm going to just lighten up and play it, okay? You guys check it out.
Howdy, y'all. It's me, the Natural. How y'all doing, Nowhere and Mulberry? I really wish y'all would talk about some more video games like Metal Gear Solid or Silent Hill. I mean, Roll Bounce. I really wish you guys would do that, Jason. Maybe we could even talk a little bit more about Judge Judy from time to time, or at least Judge Wapner. Howdy, y'all. It's me, Vanessa. Roll Bounce.
Wow, well, it's great to hear from Vanessa, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, I hate to make a Family Guy reference, but it sounds like the old pedophile on Family Guy.
Oh, wow.
Do you want some candy?
Well, I think we all know who's guilty of that voicemail. What do you guys think it was?
Oh, I know who it was.
Who was it?
That's our favorite Down Under friend.
No, was not Rich.
No, there was no Australian in that.
No, but if he does does a voice. No.
Nah, Rick can't do that.
Oh, come on. I can see Rick doing that.
No, I'm challenging him. No, it was Adam. Thank you,
yeah,
Adam.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounded like Adam.
Yeah, Adam screwing around. No, thanks for that, Adam. I'm sure Vanessa will be very flattered by that. All right, we got another voicemail.
Jeez.
This one from Sean. Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hey, Mulberry, it's Sean in Los Angeles. I thought I'd give your new voicemail number a try, and it was really cool to hear Jason's voice with his little message before the operator came on to tell me to leave my message, so that's cool. That's an upgrade over the last voicemail number. Anyway, it was great to hear you guys back after a little break before our episode 251, I think that's the right number, was epic, and I really enjoyed hearing all the things you guys discussed, all the new shows, you know, like Alcatraz, which I just watched the pilot of yesterday, and I thought was pretty interesting. I'm going to watch more, and The Return of Spartacus, of course. You guys didn't miss a beat in your few weeks off, and it was great to hear you three. Wish Laura was there, but I understand she couldn't make it. And it was great to hear Emma, because she just sounds so adorable, and she brings a lot to the show when she's on. And, yeah, just really, really dug the show. I knew you guys didn't miss a beat, because at one point you guys were talking about directors, and Bill mentioned Martin Scorsese, and I was just waiting for it. I was waiting for Foggy to pull up the drop of Sofia Vergara with Martin Scorsese. And sure enough, like, I just waited 1 second, and it played, and I was like, yes, that's why I love Nowhere in Mulberry. Anyway, so, yeah, great show. Excited you guys are doing another show tonight, I think.
I'll definitely
be checking out the podcast on Tuesday when it comes out.
Heck yes, we are.
So you guys have an awesome show again tonight. I'll talk to you guys later. All right. Love you. Bye.
Thank you, Sean. It's always good to hear from you. And we have one more voicemail, this one from Rick. Hey, Rick, what's up?
Hey, guys. Maybe a bit late for a voicemail, but I thought I'd hurry up and do one. Just, it might just make it. Who knows? Who knows? So, what happened this week? Well, I did a few things. I watched, for the first time, The Goonies after listening to the movie mini. I decided I'd give it a go. And, yeah, it doesn't hold up too well. as I was watching it, I was like, yeah, I can totally see how this is like a classic, you know, childhood movie, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I could see that. But as a someone who'd never seen it before, I got a bit bored and kind of...
It drags a little in the middle.
All the, what's the word? Far out. I should know this word because I'm a pro at spotting them. I'm going to have to say inconsistencies, but it's not that word. I don't have to pause it and start this recording again, so I'm just going to keep talking until it comes to my mind. You know, the, oh, damn it, it's a C word, I'm sure. Anyway, a lot of those little moments in editing where you're just like, hey, they were totally in a different position than the frame before that frame.
Oh, you can tell he's bored of spotting that stuff.
Or, like, at the start, I'll mention, like, when Chunk meets up with the Fratellis out on the road and the dude starts singing, or whatever, you see, like, in the very next frame, he's still singing, but you can see his reflection in the rearview mirror of the car, and he's not singing, he's, like, smoking a cigarette. I was like, he's supposed to be still singing. How can he be singing when he's smoking a cigarette? Anyway.
Oh, Rick, how dare you?
Because the Fratellis are magic.
Anyway, the whole movie was filled in moments like that. Like, the editing process must have been a nightmare to try and get the shots they wanted, because the kids could never do the same thing twice, I guess. Anyway, that was just the most boring story ever. Great, well done. I'll tell you what movie I started watching and didn't finish. Legion with Paul Bettany. What a horseshit movie that was.
Spider
I can't
game.
Believe that was ever made. And my favourite part, which if you've ever seen it, you probably not even realise that it is the best part of the whole freaking movie, is when, what's his name? Dennis Quaid.
He sounds so interesting.
You know, he quit smoking, but he fires one up again, like, because it's the end of the world, and he's cooking on the barbie or whatever, frying something up. He inhales it. He breathes out. He just, excuse the swears, but he goes, fuck it. Anyway, you just replay that scene over and over again, you know, just rewind it and watch the acting and just the way he says it. My brother and I did it probably about 10 times and just cracked up, and we just had to stop doing it because I was dying from laughter.
Well, at least you were entertained.
It was great. Some great acting. Anyway, this is probably the worst voicemail I've ever seen. I got to get back to the days where I was editing them and cutting out all the shit parts. Anyway, great show. Four friggin' hours. Man, that got me through a 12-hour shift because I had to pause and, you know, do... Anyway, a 4-hour shift. Yeah, thanks, guys. Great show. Lots of love, all that shit. I'm just... it's early in the morning, right? And I haven't really got out of bed yet. So, you know, don't hold it against me. This is Rick from Australia. And the good thing about, like, voicemails is... The word I was looking for was continuity, for frig's sake. And bye.
Yeah, you can tell it's like different recording.
Your fucking baby's gonna burn.
Hey, Spider Granny. No call for that.
That's the best part of the movie right there.
Spider Granny. Yeah, who is that director? Because he also did that other Paul Bettany movie with the vampires, and I watched that, but I don't remember.
Oh, Priest, what a turd that is.
This director... Stop directing. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, that movie, Priest, you know, is so bad.
Priest, was, it visually looked really cool. Whoever the production designer was, kudos to you, my friend. But the movie ran out of story big time.
There was nothing there, and it was short. The movie it was itself was
it's like
very
chapter
short.
One of a book or something. And the movie didn't make any money, so there would never be anything else.
I mean, all they had was a vampire train, really?
Yeah, okay, here it is. There's vampires, right, in the world? Mm-hmm. They've trained priests to be like ninjas who kill vampires. Only now that the vampires are all gone, they treat priests like shit, right?
Yeah, which makes absolutely no sense to me. These people saved society, and now they're frowned upon?
They live in cities like Blade Runner, where you can't see the sun anymore, and it's all darkened or whatever, and it rains all the time, and... the Pope guy, he's a dick. I don't get it, but it looks nice. So whatever.
Scott Charles Stewart.
Yeah, what? That's three first names. That's not a name. What the hell?
That's all it takes is three names to make shitty movies.
Guys, thanks for all the voicemail. Let's do entertainment. Yeah!
Pathetic.
Hey. Now, Bill, I want to talk about Chronicle, but first I want to mention that I saw The Gray with Liam Neeson last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good movie. That was one of those movies like The Exorcist or whatever. It's not scary like that, but it made me feel uneasy the whole movie. And in fact, my heart was beating really fast during the movie. And honestly, I could have easily got up and left the movie.
So it gives you tachycardia.
Yes, I was very uncomfortable during the movie. I felt uneasy.
Should there be signs posted in the line as you're going in? Like,
I don't know if it would affect anyone else. It didn't affect Heather like that, but for some reason, I mean, I've been bitten by a dog once on the leg, and it has wolves in it. Something about it was so real to me that it was making me uneasy, and I couldn't sit still. And at one point, I was holding Heather's hand, and she could feel like my friggin' pulse was like... Like, I think he's going to die right now. I was just very uncomfortable. It's a really... Liam Neeson rocks the shit in that movie. He's such a great actor. I love Liam Neeson. He's worth seeing the movie, but it's not something that I want to, like, see again.
I really wanted to see it again today, but Chronicle let out at 1:30. It's a short movie, first showing.
Mm-hmm.
And, for some stupid reason, they staggered the time so that The Gray started an hour later, and by the time I got out of Chronicle, it was already like 40 minutes into it. So I just passed on it. I really wanted to see it, though, but I wasn't about to wait around till 4:40.
Joe Carnahan did it. I mean, it's really good film. I apparently have a weak constitution. I didn't know I did. I mean, I could sit through Piranha and stuff like that and not care, but for some reason...
Well, you've always told me that you have a hard time with horror films.
No, I don't. I mean, what kind of horror films? That's what I'm saying.
Ones that scare you, I guess?
No, I don't. I
really?
I don't. No.
I always thought you were a little, not queasy, but apprehensive.
It depends on what it is, yeah. But okay. I can sit through The Ring and laugh at the ending.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
gone.
The Gray, though, it's real. It's not a horror movie, but it's very real kind of horror going on. It's in reality. And I think maybe that's what was bothering me and scaring me.
That's entirely possible.
You know what I mean? There's some jumps in there where I was like, oh, screw you, movie. Go to hell. It was pissing me off. There was twice that Heather laughed at me because I was holding popcorn in my left hand. And I went, ugh! And I blew popcorn all over myself at one point. And I was like, holy shit, I'm such an idiot. And I'm like,
they should have turned the camera on you.
I'm picking popcorn off myself, like, as I'm eating. I'm like, just eating off my shirt. And then I went, blah, again. And I was like, damn it. I just did popcorn all over myself again. And I just turned to Heather and I go, I'm an idiot. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. This movie's really scaring the shit out of me. I don't like this movie.
Has mind
I could. I honestly could have easily snuck out of the theater and gone to see that Katherine Heigl movie instead. Because at least, Bill, I would have been safe there. And wolves can't get me in that movie.
And it's got a naked old man.
Shriveled balls every time, baby. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway... Before we talk about Chronicle, Bill...
You're just going to tease the shit out of this, aren't you?
Okay, we used to play movie trailers all the time on the show, right? Yeah. But I got a new trailer to a movie called Phantom Menace 3D.
Oh, God, don't play. I'm going to have to put it on mute. I can't listen to this again.
The worst thing I've ever heard. I guess it's aimed towards kids or whatever. But
this guy does the voiceover on every one of those kids' stations, and it is the most condescending, irritating, huckster-sounding bullshit.
Hey, kids, I'm talking down to you like you're friggin' morons. Cowabunga!
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. And I don't know, he does this announcer deep voice yet high pitch thing that is like fingernails down a freaking blackboard.
Well, let's check it out. It sounds awesome.
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace is coming to the big screen in 3D. Woo! Hurry up, Qui-Gon.
Get out of here.
You don't want to be late to the celebration.
You hear that?
Yeah.
That sound can only mean one thing. Pod racing. The fastest, most intense sport ever. Just don't get too close.
I find that Jar Jar creature to be a little odd.
Anakin, drop!
Oh yeah, I almost forgot. It's not all fun.
Wipe them out.
As long as Darth Maul is around.
All of them.
On second thought, maybe you should keep the hood on. Just a suggestion. Hey, wait! A double-bladed lightsaber? That's not fair. There we go. Much better.
We'll let the fate decide.
It's a good thing we have Yoda and the Jedi keeping the galaxy safe.
We'll handle this.
So chill out, R2. I was just getting to you in C-3PO.
I can assure you they will never get me onto one of those dreadful starships.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Star Wars has every kind of droid.
Roger, roger.
Lots of them.
Oh, my.
Good ones.
Ha-woo.
Bad ones.
Destroyers.
Make that a whole army of bad ones.
Hold on fire.
When the galaxy's greatest heroes join forces.
Take this! And this!
Anything is possible.
Oops.
And now that it's in 3D, the action isn't so far, far away. You're right in the middle of it. And it doesn't get any better than that.
Now this is pod racing.
Casting.
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. See it on the big screen in spectacular 3D, February 10th.
Spectacular 3D, Bill.
Did they use every explosion in that?
Holy shit. Is that grating or what?
They just showed the entire movie. I mean, honestly, there's no reason for any kid to go because the rest of them is just people sitting around talking and shit.
We are not going to discuss this in the committee.
My favorite part is this, Bill.
Chill out, R2.
Yeah, R2, chill out.
Chill out, man. Cowabunga, R2. Let's go see some sand people.
Tubular, man.
I find that Jar Jar creature to be a little odd.
But what the hell? That was like the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's awful. And it's just so typical of the way kids are talked down to.
Oops.
Adam mentioned it whenever Emma was on this show during the news, is that you have to talk to a kid in a way that isn't condescending to them. Kids are smart. Don't treat them like idiots. A kid is going to check first.
Yeah, like,
this is awesome, man. Yeah.
I speak with a lisp because I'm missing a front tooth. Aren't I cute? I'm Anakin.
It's like, Jesus Christ. It's really bad, dude. Really bad.
We'll let the fate decide.
Yeah. And, you know, they're advertising this to kids that have never seen it. They're totally unaware of it.
Yeah, I guess this is for kids that are three who've never seen Phantom.
Yeah, that weren't born yet.
Yeah. Basically, any parent who's into Star Wars has shown their kid the Phantom Menace already.
Yeah, well, apparently, you know, Lucasfilm and Fox think that that's not the case.
Now, Bill, you know, in Star Wars The Old Republic, my character uses a double-bladed lightsaber.
That's not fair!
Hey, wait, a double-bladed lightsaber?
Yeah, that's right, douchebag.
Oops.
I feel bad that Zach Parks in the chat room said he'll still see it opening day.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Zach, I know you're dedicated to the Star Wars prequels.
Well,
but
you know why? You know why he wants to see it?
In spectacular 3D.
That's right, it's spectacular.
Mm.
No, don't go see that. All right, Bill, let's talk about Chronicle. We just saw that today. And you know, we all know what the movie's about, I assume. Steven, you know what it's about? These guys who basically they get powers. They get
they find something that gives them powers.
Telepathy abilities, right, Bill?
Even more than telepathy, though, because one of them develops like a stone skin kind of thing, like a invincibility, and
it's like they can put a barrier over themselves, like just concentrate on it and create like a
okay.
Didn't it seem like that? He said, just think of a protective layer over your hand and stuff.
Okay,
like that.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I guess I wasn't paying attention and close enough.
You know what's really cool about the movie? I mean. They call it's in the found footage genre, but it's really not a found footage movie, Bill.
No, not at all.
It's because no one has found the footage. It's just what's really cool about the movie, now that I think about it, is the movie is done from any camera that captured a moment, which is cool, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just the camera that's filming everything. Also, surveillance cameras, or if somebody else in a room has a camera, people with their phone cameras or whatever, it like cuts to whatever camera is in the room.
And I thought it was funny that especially whenever we come into contact with the girl, the blogger that has a camera, the massive quality shift.
Yeah.
From the first camera that his name is blanking on
Andrew?
Me. Yeah, that Andrew had.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you can see in one of the shots, I'm looking at it, and you can see, like, the edge enhancement around, like, the camera lens and all that. It just made me giggle.
It was funny because the first camera he has is pretty good, but then after something happens to that and he gets an even better camera, like, when it focuses in on it. Because remember, after the incident where they get their powers or whatever, the camera's, like, way better, the camera quality.
Yeah, he goes – in there, at one point it shows – is it Matt, his cousin, with it? And I think it was a Canon. I was, like, looking at brands. Uh-huh. Like, the girl had a Sony, Matt had a Canon.
I gotta tell you.
Because it was quality difference. It's like they actually used those shots.
The main character of the film, you would say it was Andrew. They kind of show that he's doesn't fit in. I guess he's kind of a nerd. He's got a horrible, shitty home life with his parents.
I wouldn't say he's a nerd. I would just say he's just introverted due to his horrible family life.
Right. His dad's a complete alcoholic prick. And the way it opens is really kind of it's really
jarring.
Well done and sad.
Yeah.
But, I really identified with his character where I honestly wanted to just sit down and talk to the dude, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to give him a hug.
Yeah, I did too. It's like, dude, the people care about you, you know? I felt so bad about his mother and everything, and he is a good guy, but we've seen this explored before in movies or in literature where someone comes in contact with a great power and it either corrupts you or you somehow deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, and I could easily see how, it's behind, you know, especially at that age. Just think when you're a teenager in high school, if all of a sudden you had these powers of a god, you would do a lot of dumb things with it, wouldn't you?
Beyond dumb.
I'd be like, dude, I'm going to go steal some hamburgers or something, or like levitate some hamburgers or
blow up girls' skirts.
Yeah, stuff like that. And the stuff that they do when they first get their powers is really, you know, they're having fun with it. It's really cool. And I thought the flying sequences were really cool too, Bill.
They were really good.
Just the way everything from the camera point of view. And when the main character, I'm not going to spoil anything for you guys.
I'm trying to avoid everything.
But when, you know, we talked about it before, they can levitate things, so they start levitating the camera. Those shots are really cool and inventive, I thought, as the camera kind of floats. And it was totally believable. I can imagine, because we're seeing from the point of the view of the camera, I could imagine the camera hovering there in the air, couldn't you?
Yeah, and there was a fantastic part near the end where there are cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like the character has become, there's a line in about being hiding behind the camera, and the character has become so dependent on having a camera there that he almost uses it as a literal shield.
Right.
You know, it was really, really, really interesting how they did that with the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
The camera, it became its own character.
Yeah, and that's the thing about found footage stuff, because, you know, like Cloverfield, they found this tape somewhere or whatever. So really, it's more of just an idea of we're watching this story take place on multiple cameras, and there's not, it's not like someone found this videotape in a field or anything, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like a compilation of what happened without the found footage aspect.
I did.
Because like you said, it's from, there are scenes where they use up to like five different points of view.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it was really cool how they did that. And I really liked Vince from Friday Night Lights in the movie. I thought he was really good.
Every one of the guys were excellent. I mean, I believed that these guys,
you know what,
were going through this together. Like, I totally bought it.
The main character of Andrew, he was a better Anakin than Hayden Christensen.
Absolutely.
If you look at it like that in the movie.
I felt for him. There are so many moments in the movie where I was just, I actually at one point had tears in my eyes. It moved me that deeply at parts.
You know, there's a part where he kind of gets some comeuppance against people who've done wrong things to him. I felt the movie needed more of that and him getting more
retribution
or even screwing around. I mean, because really when you get powers like that, there's kind of a disconnect. Like, I'm more powerful than these people. They're not important to me. Bill, I almost wanted him to screw around with people more.
No, see, I didn't want that because you don't want to demonize him that far.
I know, but in a way, I wanted to because I wanted to see some people suffer.
Yeah, I agree with you. You sympathize with his character so much that you felt that he deserved retribution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think maybe that I wanted some more of that, and maybe that's not the right way to think, Jason.
I just wanted more of it. I wanted so much more.
There's this
like not in a bad way, not like I expected more. I just did not want it to end.
Yeah, when the movie ends, I liked the ending too, and I thought it was effective, and it was very kind of it was well done, the ending.
I thought it was kind of poignant.
Yes, it was.
The way the characters continue, you know, it just it struck a chord with me. I got a little teary eyed.
And the way that they do the shots, because it's on cameras and stuff, when you see dudes fly up in the air and it becomes a natural thing where we're used to seeing them take off and stuff. The effects were really good in the movie, you know. I just thought the way that they can do effects but have it on a medium like a video camera and stuff, they've made it where it's so cool to see. You know what I mean? It's so kind of like your brain is like, oh, it's like this is realistic. You know, it's fooling me is what I'm trying to say. So I thought that was really cool. And I guess one of my only complaints is the movie ends.
It was coming, but it just came so fast.
I wanted the third act to be longer. I wasn't ready for it to wrap up, you know?
In my own mind, justifying that it had to wrap up fast because of how truly damaged the character of Andrew was, how far beyond his own saving.
Yeah, there's one scene with his dad where you think things are going another way, but then, oh man, I wanted to kill that guy. His alcoholic father.
Oh yes, yeah. That scene in particular, I was just like, "You son of a bitch!"
Yeah.
How could you do that? How, you know? It's like it's a moment where you sympathize for Andrew and that you go, you know what? You want to give people the benefit of the doubt, but it's gotten to the point where he can't do that, and it's almost kind of like a slap to our faces. Like, do you really, you know, think that he would be like this if this didn't happen to him every freaking day?
Yeah, there's no way. You get beat down after a while. Even when people are decent to you, it's like, what? Why are they doing this? They're going to do something to me later, you know?
Yeah.
You don't trust anybody. But it's if anybody's curious, go see Chronicle. I think you'll get a kick out of it. You don't have to worry about shaky cam at all. I don't think.
No.
There's no shaky cam in the movie. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about Cloverfield getting nauseous or anything.
No, there's only like one or two scenes where like they pick up a camera or the camera falls or that it gets a little shaky, but that's minimal.
It's
and I sat I sit like right up at the front. If you go into the theater and you have that area where like the wheelchairs can be, uh-huh. I always sit on the row in front of that.
Oh, really?
So like I like the screen like right in my face, and I wasn't bothered by it at all.
Top row, the very back.
I'm a close to front guy. I like my vision to be enveloped.
So if we ever went into a movie together, I'd be like, Phil, I can't do this. So I got to go in the back.
Well, you know what? I would go to the back. I have no problem. I'm not strict on it.
I'll see you after the movie, Bill. Bye.
I honestly just like to stay out of people's way because I like people to stay out of my way.
The idea about being on the back row is no one can sit behind you and talk. That's what I like
true.
About it.
Yeah, or I was getting so annoyed. There was a they were old enough to know better behind me. They had like a bag of Doritos or something that they had snuck in. So that cellophane crackle was going on for at least 40 minutes. I wanted to turn around and go, don't you know better? Don't bring snacks into the theater. Yes, the snacks are expensive, but that's what they make their money off of.
If I have something that's loud, I try to open it before the movie starts, so I don't have to go.
I had something loud once, and I had to wind up putting it away because it annoyed me.
It's embarrassing.
If it annoys me, I know how bad it affects other people.
Oh, you know what? Before the movie started, when the movie first started, this is the first showing of the day, the 21 Jump Street trailer came on.
Oh, Jesus.
And it stopped. It's a digital theater. I don't know if their Blu-ray was skipping or whatever it plays on, but it stopped and froze and then went to black. Then it came back on. People were laughing a little bit. It stopped and froze, went to black. Kim comes back on. People are watching a little bit. They're laughing or whatever. It stops again, and finally this guy, I hear, oh, come on! He's getting so – could somebody play this guy's 21 Jump Street trailer? He's getting pissed. But my dad and I laughed because the guy was like, come on! He's getting so frustrated. It was really funny.
Nice.
They must put them all on the
– come on, man.
When they send it out digitally, they have some sort of hard drive delivery system. They must put them all – because we had the exact same trailers. It was like 21 Jump Street, then it went into Battleship, then it went into, the Avengers, and there were two more. There were five or six trailers. It was like, is this ever going to end?
Yeah, I honestly was like, this is the worst set of trailers I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, and it's I told you, when it goes from Battleship to the Avengers, and it's just constant explosions and screaming.
Battleship does boom, boom.
Yeah, it's
It's like, oh, wow, I'm such a moronic person. These sounds and flashes of images are really making me want to see this movie. It's like, we're not that easy, people. Okay, and then the very final trailer that airs before the movie starts, The Three Stooges.
Oh.
And I turned to my dad and I go, I give up. And it just made him laugh because it's like the worst set of movie trailers. And I'm going to say, even the Avengers trailer, I was like, dude, yawn. I'm not. Yeah. There's nothing special about this trailer.
It's just screaming Nine Inch Nails music and explosions. I don't give a shit.
Quick
Sell
flash,
a movie
fade to
me.
Black. Quick flash, fade to black.
Look at that shot of Scarlett Johansson silhouetted against an explosion. She's so sexy.
She's got hair in her eyes, Bill. Ooh.
Oh.
And what is that? What is that weird, like in Iron Man 2, and I saw Kate Beckinsale do it too, this kind of martial arts where you just roll around a person? like wrap around them and kind of like roll around. What are you doing to them? You're giving them a hug and rolling around? What is that martial arts mean?
I think it's a trick.
Yeah, I don't get it. But, So anyway, Chronicle, it was better than all the trailers.
Yeah, it was much better than the trailers. And just the movie had heart. It had a lot of heart. And I know they're talking about the success and sequel and everything. But I honestly would love more. But as it ends, as it is, it's... it's pretty close to perfect for me.
I'd like to see it more more from the director. I don't know if he needs to do a sequel, but if there was going to be like a found footage type movie, I still think they need to do just a reporter with a cameraman covering an alien invasion of some kind would be cool. They've got a news van. They're traveling around. They're documenting this alien thing. I mean, I know that the bad aliens in L.A. movie, what was that called? Kind of like
Battle for Los Angeles.
Yeah, they kind of ruined the alien invasion thing a little bit. But maybe you could do it really cool. Even maybe make it news footage from the 70s or something. Do it in a different time period. It'd be pretty cool, maybe. Maybe I'm thinking too much Super 8. But I'm just saying that it doesn't have to be like Battle for Los Angeles.
No.
Maybe put it out in a rural Anytown USA, but have the news van covering this alien invasion and stuff. It'd be pretty cool or something. I don't know.
I think so.
What I'm saying is a lot of people are like, hey, found footage that actually works for this tired genre. And I'm like, dude, I'm still waiting to see more from this tired genre. Except I saw a trailer to some horror movie that was found footage.
I don't know. I know the other trailer that annoyed the living hell out of me that was kind of a found footage was Project X.
Oh, yeah. It's like some kind of like rave
just this
party.
Loud, obnoxious party.
Teenagers. And also there was before The Gray, it was all horror movie trailers. And one was about this woman who's being harassed in her house in one take. This film was made in one take. And I was thinking, that would annoy the shit out of me. So it's a camera just following her everywhere.
That sounds ridiculous.
It would give
we
me
shot the movie in actual time.
Yeah, we're filming it right now. I was like, what? It's a live feed. I don't know. What
Silent called. House.
Yeah. That's it. And I remember Heather Turner, she goes, there's no way I'll ever watch that movie. And I'm like, God damn, with you, man. Guys?
Yeah.
Let's check out what's on our TiVo. Whee! And then we'll take a break.
Hurry up, Qui-Gon.
Oh, go F yourself. All right, Cake Boss. You know what's funny is, because I didn't have DirecTV, it came back Friday night, Bill, after the show, went back out on Sunday. The guy came on Tuesday to fix it. So I missed the next Great Baker finale. I had no idea who won.
I missed it. Yeah. But I had cable, so.
Yeah, I had no idea who won, Bill. So I was like, I did get to see you get to record Cake Boss, so I'll watch that. Surely they won't give away the winner of Next Great Baker.
No. Why would they do that?
So let's check it out and see who won.
Marissa, they quit.
Aw, man.
So the first shot gives away who won because she's there. And for some reason, everyone's being a dick to this girl. They're hazing her. Right there, the guy goes, Marissa, and he put frosting all over a football and throws it at her leg. So she gets frosting on her leg. And she's like, aw, man, come on, giving her a hard time. And there's even one part where Buddy's giving her a hard time when she's putting stuff on a cake, Bill. And he calls her, like, honey bunny. Oh, honey
yeah,
bunny.
It was so irritating. It was like a little boys' club picking on the girl.
Yeah, he's like, honey bunny, this isn't going to work. And I was like, dude, you can't talk to your female employees like that. Like, just totally demeaning.
Yeah, she's not your family, asshole.
Yeah, let's listen to this where he's just a dick to her.
This week is really a special week because they got Marissa, the winner of the Next Great Baker, starring at the bakery.
As far as today goes, I just got a phone call from Buddy saying, you know, he needs me to come get my hands on
some
project.
What would you call the genre of music?
I'm a little bit nervous. I'm freaking out even more.
I mean, Marissa still got to go through a test. I mean, I put her through hell and back on Next Great Baker. I'll give them that, all the competitors. But now you got to throw down with me every day.
Oh, you made it. Yeah. All right, Marissa. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Excellent. All right. We just had Dan Patrick, and there's a gala for the Heisman Trophy. So what I was thinking is put that on a football field, okay, and then build like a three-quarter stadium around it with the fans kind of roaring. You know what I'm trying to say? So we're going to do a bunch of people in the stand. I'm talking like 800, 1,000. This cake has got to be phenomenal.
Very good.
Is this buttercreamed or not?
I think Marissa did that.
Yeah.
You did under?
I didn't do that yet.
You didn't get here either.
Come on, rookie.
Look here. If you don't put it, honey bunny, it ain't going to stick. Okay.
I should have just buttercreamed the whole thing. I just wasn't working as fast as I should have. I'm not really used to them, like, being right behind you with fondant as I'm buttercreaming. I'm not used to the fast pace of, like, so many people on one cake. So I have to get used to just, you know, get my job done when they say to do it.
The trick is, Marissa, when I work with my team, you have to know what I'm thinking before I think it.
Okay.
You got to know what he's thinking before he knows what he's thinking.
Okay.
When you said blow it out your ass.
Yes.
Wow. Come on. Give me a break.
Take this fondant and shove it.
And he was like, I think we'll keep it around. What a dick.
I'm going to put it in the back of my truck.
Yeah, there's a part where he's like, you get to ride in the box truck. She's like, why? Just get in there and shut the F up, bitch. Slaps her in the face. I was like, oh my God.
Put the lotion on the skirt. It's the worst else cake. The hose.
Worst cake boss ever. And by the way, that cake looked like shit.
Yeah, geez.
It was like a stadium on plywood, you know, and it had just little stick people and the Heisman Trophy. And he's like, hey,
and that Heisman Trophy looked like stocky.
Yeah,
like,
and he's like,
didn't make proper measurements of it.
Well, he asked Vinny Testaverde. He's like, hey, what do you think? Pretty close. He's like, yeah, it's great. Buddy.
It's uncanny.
Yeah, looks just like it.
It's uncanny.
All right, we're going to take a break after this one clip. I gave Napoleon Dynamite, the cartoon, another viewing this Sunday, the new episode. Did you get to see it?
Mm-hmm.
Called Liger Town. Mm-hmm. Did you laugh at any point in the show?
There were a couple.
There's a couple of good moments, but are we going to still keep watching it?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Oh, no.
Well,
I'm not sure.
I have this little clip
I've got
here.
It recorded, and I'll fast forward.
I like
it.
Seeing the characters. I love the characters so much that I'm enjoying it. And Pedro's deadpan delivery cracks me up.
Pedro was fine. I don't mind him.
Did you like the miss? You know, here's the thing. There's so much that's been done with The Simpsons over the years, the ideas that they use, and even Family Guy, that when you're slipping a cartoon in there, it's hard not to feel like they're not influenced by those cartoons where they want to kind of like, we want to appeal to this audience as The Simpsons and Family Guy or whatever. There's a couple of times where I feel like they're trying to do that kind of humor, you know?
Well, what I saw an interview with John Heder, mm-hmm. and he was saying, he goes, well, Napoleon would never do that, but yeah, I'd like to see him do that. You know, it's like.
Yeah, there's some.
You're kind of contradicting. You know, that's not his character. So
well, they're making it more fantastical, yeah. You know, for the cartoon. Like, they're not going to have. Like
they're making it Bugs Bunny Road, right? You know, when he could fall 100 feet and not get hurt.
Right.
You know?
Well, even like when he goes to a farm where they breed ligers, Bill. And, you know, Napoleon thinks they're mystical. I think Bill left. He's not here.
No, I'm observing. This is, I love hearing Steven so serious about the Napoleon Dynamite cartoon.
Well, it's like the Napoleon, the Liger Sanctuary, whatever, where they breed ligers. He's like, they're mystical animals.
Doesn't seem true to the character.
Well, they're bred for fighting and magic, right? And he sees they're real lazy and they just watch Sanford and Son on the TV. So he's like, oh, no, they're not magic or whatever. So one has a baby and he takes the baby to raise it as a warrior. And I was like, that's pretty funny. He even has a dream where he meets the first liger ever bred in captivity or whatever.
Yeah.
Who was like a great warrior. He's like, Napoleon, you must save the liger. And he's like training it. And Deb comes along. She goes, it's such a cute baby. And he's like, no, we've got to make it tough or whatever. So he's being real mean to it. And she's like,
the llama milk makes it mean.
He goes in. He needs to find somewhere to give it milk. So he attaches it to the llama's, you know, teat. Eat your food! What's the llama's name? Do you remember? I can't remember. Go feed. Eat your food! Tina.
Tina.
So there's got this liger baby nursing off of Tina, and Tina's like, well, anyway, I have this clip here, Bill. Let's check it out.
So, Pedro, the other day, I found, like, a scientist's secret diary, and it said if you burp, sneeze, fart, and yawn at the same time, you explode.
Science is amazing.
BS, Napoleon. Scientists don't keep diaries. They have logs. Secondly, I know two people who have sneefurped and lived to blog about it.
Well, they're liars. All the air leaving your body would create a super vacuum and turn you into an upside-down blood fountain. Gosh!
This is the dumbest argument I have ever heard. Let's try it and see who's right.
Oh, my pack!
The root beer has reached the cabbage. I think we're a go.
Initiating pepper cloud.
Any last words, Napoleon?
Pedro, if I die, have a hawk sprinkle my ashes in Bear Lake.
As you wish.
Sneeferp in 3, 2, and 1.
Get out of the way! Get out of the way!
Get off of me!
And then he lands on Grandma.
Sorry
Bill.
It didn't explode, guys. I totally forgot to yawn.
Are you okay, Grandma?
No, I'm not okay. Your dingbat brother just broke my transition lenses.
Boy, you really done it now. A good pair of photograys will set you back $28, and that's without the croakies.
$28? I'll never have that kind of money.
I don't think I understood a single bit of that. Honestly, I'm lost.
It sounded
like a bad radio show.
All right, guys, let's take a break and we'll be right back. Laters.
Chill out, R2.
He always wanted to design and build his own race cars. He brought that dream to life.
You got an extra taste for living, for the special things in life. Doing what others wish they could and know it is all right. So here's to everyone who wants more out of life. And here's to everyone who finds something extra. Stroh's Signature is something.
Stroh's Signature is something extra. You have our name on that.
The do-it-yourselfer who needs help relies on True Value Hardware stores for dependable products, like a Woods Wire fluorescent work light that burns cooler longer than incandescents, and this Master Electrician crimp and cut kit with multi-purpose tool and terminals. To protect against electrical hazards, they offer a Master Electrician safety outlet. And outdoor projects automatically get extra light at dusk with this ITT Mercury Vapor Light from participating True Value Hardware stores and home centers.
He's stealing your car. Can you shoot him? The answer at 11.
These lonely pound puppies need someone to love. Someone who'd love a little puppy love.
For you, Grandma.
Pound puppies are as cuddly as real puppies.
He'll keep you company in the dorm.
They're the perfect way to say, I love you. For birthdays, holidays, or any day. Pound puppies, so soft and adorably lonely. Sometimes the hardest thing about giving them...
Happy Valentine's Day.
...is giving them up.
Pound puppy, you're my one and only puppy love.
Hey, how about them apples in new Kellogg's Apple Raisin Crisp? Now we've added big, juicy apples in lots of mouth-watering chunks. Mmm, delicious. New Apple Raisin Crisp cereal. How about them apples?
No matter how long your shopping list, Timex is ready with over 200 fabulous styles, like our Marathon Runner's Quartz. Merry Christmas, one and all, from Timex.
The Legoland Solar Power Transporter. You can build this transport pretending you're on Mars. The box shows ways to change it by snapping off the cars. You can snap them back together and get a scouting craft, or match them with the lasers for a base defender craft. You can make up something wild, supercharged and new. The sky's the limit when the team is Legoland and you. There are 19 space sets you can collect, each sold separately. The Solar Power Transporter is part of the Legoland Space Collection and has hundreds of bricks for building from Lego Systems.
You've heard the songs. You've thrilled to his performances. Now get up and dance with Barry Manilow.
At the Copa, Copa Cabana.
Don't miss Barry Manilow in his electrifying motion picture debut. Music and passion are always in fashion at the Copa Cabana. Tonight.
Yes, I can. I can do it.
Yes, I can. I used to say that all the time when I was learning to skate. I'm Scott Hamilton for the Foundation for Exceptional Children. Our program, Yes I Can, encourages young people with disabilities to do their personal best by honoring them with a certificate of accomplishment. We hear about these kids in letters from families and friends all over the country who tell us,
Jimmy, my best friend, has a learning disorder, but he's teaching me how to fish.
Lori lost both her legs in a car accident.
She's only 10, and she's just organized a wheelchair sports league.
My grandson, Stevie, is mentally retarded. He takes beautiful pictures to give his friends. Stevie shares happiness, he says.
If you've been inspired by the determination of an exceptional young person, 2 to 21, write us. So we can send a certificate to encourage each one of them to say,
"Yes, I can!"
Write the Foundation for Exceptional Children, Reston, Virginia, 22091.
Down. Coming down.
Seven up, flashing on the fun. Going cool and clear on everyone. Seven up, feels so good. Good. Seven up.
Hi, did you know that McDonald's has a great money-saving offer on film? So if you like to take vacation shots, or close-ups, or pictures like my father takes, you can save a lot of money if you can get a roll of Scotch Color Print film, 35mm, 110, or disc for only 59 cents plus tax. Only 59 cents at McDonald's with the purchase of any breakfast entree or large sandwich. At these prices, you better snap it up
at McDonald's.
Sonny, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to help your mother with the dishes.
You can't do that, Godfather.
I want you to clean up your room.
Sorry, Godfather.
Okay, I'm gonna make you an offer you can't refuse. Smooth, creamy Jell-O pudding.
Jell-O Instant Pudding and sugar-free Jell-O Instant Pudding. Kids love them, and they're ready in just 5 minutes.
Godfather, you have my every loyalty.
I don't compete anymore, but I still pump iron. So after lifting a few hundred pounds, it's nice to lift one of these. Light beer from Miller. Light tastes great, and it's less filling, with a third less calories than the regular beer. Now, you know, bodybuilding is hard work, but having a great body has its advantages. It sure makes it easy to pick up guys. Hi, Rodney.
Oh, hi there. What's going on here? Hey, honey, how about a lift home, huh?
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer. And less.
Look, I never lost so much weight before. This time, I didn't just diet. I added Dexatrim to my diet. Dexatrim made all the difference. I just wasn't as hungry all day.
Studies show that compared to dieting alone, people who added Dexatrim to their diets lost 50% more weight.
Dexatrim was amazing. I could feel the change in my appetite. I ate less, and I lost more weight.
Don't just diet. Diet with Dexatrim and lose more weight.
June 1985, a taste test with 180 people between Mrs. Butterworth's and a new syrup. The catch? All 180 are Mrs. Butterworth's users who expect thickness, richness, and of course, buttery flavor. Yet surprisingly, 45% prefer the new syrup, Aunt Jemima Butter Light. And Butter Light has only half the calories and sugar of Mrs. Butterworth's. So it isn't just good news for Butter Light, it's good news for us all. Butter Light, new from Aunt Jemima.
In September, get the Corningware 5-piece minuet set for just $9.88. Look for the Bargain of the Month banner at participating True Value hardware stores and home centers.
There's a new movement sweeping the country. The 1985 Toyota van. So innovative, it'll change the way you think about vans. It seats 7 or carries 1,500 pounds of sheet music and gives you the best gas mileage of any van you can buy. You can even get an ice maker and 2 sunroofs. The Toyota van. It's a whole new movement.
It's Kenner's Betty Crocker Easy Bake Mini Wave Oven. Preheat 15 minutes, light bulb not included.
You can mix up a yellow and a chocolate cake. You can have lots of fun with an Easy Bake. In just 10 minutes, it's done just right. To frost, share, taste, bite.
The Betty Crocker Easy Bake Mini Wave Oven with Betty Crocker Mixes from Kenner.
Fun to create with Crayola. Crayola caddy. Our Crayola caddy spins around and round. Crayons, markers, brushes are so easily found. Paints and watercolors to use throughout the day. They're all in our caddy, and that is why we say it's fun to
cake with Crayola.
The Crayola Caddy comes with everything you see here.
Rub-a-dub doggy, soft little doggy, it can take a bath with you. Taking a bath can be lots of fun, 'cause two in the bathtub is as much fun as
Doggy, I love you.
Rub-a-dub doggy is watertight, soap-proof, and comes complete with a sponge bone from Ideal.
Merlin's a game that you can play. You can play it six different ways.
Some like to play a tic-tac-toe. Others can test their skill.
Some play a tune on music machine or try to play blackjack 13.
Merlin is six electronic games in one. It's really fun for most everyone in the family. Six penlight batteries not included.
With lights and sounds.
Six games in one.
Merlin's a game that's lots of fun.
Merlin, six electronic games in one. From Parker Brothers.
Action!
Shoots Away is so much fun, your kids may never stop playing it. Look through this viewfinder, pilot the plane over a target, and drop an air rescue parachute. Shoots Away!
Cut.
Darn it. Shoots Away!
Okay, Dick, we got it.
Shoots Away!
Cut!
Shoots Away, the air rescue target game.
Shoots Away! Shoots Away!
Dick, can we go home now?
Why, Gabriel?
Gabriel? I'm gonna have me some fun.
Chipmunk cheeks with the teeth.
We haven't gotten there yet, Foggy. Hey, Bill, you know in the trailer to Chronicle, there's a part where he's holding his hand out and he crushes a car?
Yes.
Even though they showed us that already, it's really cool in the movie when you get to see it finally.
Yeah, it is.
It's really effective because of what the character's talking about before he does it. And there's just cool shots like that in the movie that are really awesome.
I was wondering... I have to look at Google results to see how many... searches Allegory of the Cave and that other philosopher that Matt talks about in the movie gets this weekend.
Right. Yeah. He mentions different philosophers. And
then there was another one. Was it the same philosopher from before that, not Plato's Allegory of the Cave, but that Andrew says it's like a survival of the fittest something. It's not Darwin, but it's...
Yeah,
something like that. I can't
what did he
remember.
Say, Zeta something? Damn. I need to see the movie again. Steven,
yeah,
we'll
I wanted
together.
To see it again so bad after, but I was just like, damn, I don't even know where my head is right now. I need to take a walk.
There's a lot of emotional
I left the theater and I kind of walked around the mall a little bit, mulling it over in my mind before I went to the car.
I'm just glad there's no wolves trying to eat him in the movie. You know?
You imagine if the wolves got powers. Whoa.
Oh, man. Wolves with powers? Screw that. Maybe Wolverine after him or something like
snicky,
that.
Snicky,
Wolverine, snicky. Wolverine, snicky, snicky, snowing.
Okay, guys. Gordon Ramsay returned to Capri, huh? Let's check out what happens when he meets Tweedledee and Tweedledum again. This is basically a clip so everyone can go pee again after you listen to the break.
The last time was at Capri. The two twins that owned the place acted more like big babies than grown men. Wow, the restaurant was filthy dirty, the food was disgusting, and the decor was dated. After a lot of tears, and I mean a lot of tears, they finally grew up and they got out of their lazy ways. Let's see how they're doing. Here we are.
Wow.
They're clearly open for lunch.
Wow.
What a great start.
Hey, look
at this place.
How you doing?
How are you, buddy?
I'm better now.
Jeff.
Yes.
Jim.
Jeff. The good-looking one.
And this place looks amazing. Atmosphere is fantastic. I was surprised. The fact you're even open for lunch. Not only that, but there's tables outside. You getting emotional again?
Yes, of course.
Oh, no. Come here.
It was great to see Chef Ramsay again, but there's still that nervousness about your mentor coming back to check up on you.
Right, let me go and see brother.
He's back in the kitchen.
He's back in the kitchen. Right, stay here.
It's all right.
Surprising.
Okay.
Good
to see you, buddy.
Yes.
Let's catch up.
Seeing Chef Ramsay was great.
How have you been?
Good. But I'm sure he's still a pain in the ass. Just kidding.
So, who's in control out there?
My brother.
And what's the sentence you like with both of you together? How's that working?
Oh, it's smooth. Usually when we're busy, I'm helping the guys here or in the back, making sure everything gets out.
And you now know that clean.
I even do dishes sometimes.
You do dishes sometimes?
Yes. Clean is not a four-letter word. It's five letters, so it's okay.
Sit down. All right, all right. Sit down. Good to see you, darling. Give me a kiss, please. I've missed you. You know that. I'm so happy to be back. Can I just feel under the table?
That was clean.
All clear.
Woo!
Who's doing the cleaning?
I do once in a while.
What? Hold on a minute. What do you mean once in a while? What does that mean?
I allocate it to some of our servers, but I also help them do the cleaning to make sure we get everything done.
Okay,
under
great.
We actually check for dust on our lamps, so there's none there. Just don't ask about my house.
Okay. Business since I was last here. Is up by what?
20%. Over 20%.
Wow.
Yep.
Everyone always says 20%.
Yeah.
It's such a quick period of time. It's phenomenal. Do you feel
that's
like
what they use
now?
To pay the xylophone
yes.
man.
Yes. In fact, I'm here from, you know, dusk to dawn.
Fantastic. Wow, wow, wow. Look at that.
Yeah.
What's
our
that called?
Lovers.
Our meat lovers pizza.
Look how thin that is.
I don't know.
I think of the last pizza I had here when I first arrived.
Yep. Oh my God! What in the hell is that?
Way too many toppings.
What's with that music?
It's delicious.
Yeah.
It's a horror movie all of a sudden.
That was excellent. It's like cool.
Since this business has been turned around, and I got concerned about you both being lazy and not working hard enough at running a business. On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you sit now in laziness? 1 to 10, where are you?
3. He's a 3, I'm a 5.
Why? Come on, you're young.
At least they were honest.
When was the last time you had a box?
We can work together.
It's so stupid that Gordon asked them about everything they did on the episode.
Oh, not in a while.
Okay.
Although there have been times when I...
Okay, good. Meatball cider.
He just moves on.
Look at that. Oh, and the garlic knot.
Yep.
Wow, here we go. Wow, I can't eat too many of them.
No.
I'll be the size of you. Huh? When you
that was
making meatballs, you
it?
Still run outside and shout.
Said you could be the size
we
of
have
him.
Homemade meatballs! We have homemade meatballs! Homemade meatballs!
I can see a level of maturity in both of you.
Yeah.
Would you admit you're growing up?
Still a kid at heart.
Still a kid at heart. How old are you now?
47.
Are you guys ever going to grow up?
We're having too much fun now. This is my playground. Why don't I want to grow up?
Playground. Oh,
thank Chef Ramsay here for helping us out, pointing our mistakes. And thank our customers for being so loyal. Thank you very much.
Chef Ramsay told me
it's air supply.
You
got
to put the work in to get the pleasure out of it. And that's what I'm... learning.
Thank you, Chef Ramsay, for showing us that food and homemade meatballs are very important.
Fresh food
and delicious meatballs.
Thank
well deserved. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. God, those meatball ciders were wicked, weren't they? Wow, I'm so happy to see the business doing so well. And the fact that the twins are actually taking pride in their restaurant. They may never grow up, but they have understood that lazy is a four-letter word. Homemade meatballs!
Wow, it's such a happy story, guys, isn't it?
That was painful.
It really was. They had nothing.
No, they didn't. And I think it's funny that how rude Gordon is to them.
Yeah.
And then even whenever they admit that they're still kind of lazy, the whole issue... Gordon doesn't go and clean his restaurants. He has staff do it. That's what these guys needed to figure out was that...
Right.
And I think once they got more business in and publicity, and then they could hire more staff, and then the staff could clean for them.
Yeah,
and that pizza still looks gross.
You could supervise the staff.
Yeah, and they know that cleaning
and
is important now.
Do a little spot checking with them.
Yeah. But I remember a while back, after we covered this episode, Julian called in, and he said that he lives near Capri, the Capri restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He'd never go in there, but... After this episode, it's safe to go in there, Julian. You need to check out Capri and eat there. Have some.
I just think it's funny. I wonder if those guys are there like all the time as kind of a sideshow, you know, because that's honestly what they are.
LA, right? Next time I get out there, I'll try and.
Honestly, if I were to go in there, I wouldn't be able to stop laughing just looking at the guys.
I probably wouldn't.
I'd be cracking up.
They are so goofy looking.
They are.
But just in the way they walk, the way – I mean, they remind me of Tweedledee and Tweedledum in the Alice in Wonderland. I mean, they just – they're kind of that pear shape, and they show that little clip of them boxing, and it's just them swinging their arms back and
forth.
You
know, one of them looks like he's lost a little weight, and the other one doesn't. You know, like one of them looks a little bit lighter than the other one, I noticed. But
they need to put a balance back in the force.
But I those guys are funny. I still love that episode, the original episode, that is.
Yeah.
Now, guys, let's talk about Face Off, because when it started out, did you guys like that phone call?
You must go.
They have to be outside in
15 minutes.
A creepy voice where they have to go to a haunted hospital and they have all the phobias and stuff. I think this show is fun, though.
But it is fun. I just like to how stupid some of the people were on it. Like, they couldn't figure out what the phobias were just by the first word part of it.
Right.
Like, when, hey... Hatophobia, is that fair? Hats? It's like, no, Haiti, H-A-D-E, phobia, you know, hell, hello, hello.
Well, what did you think of Bree's design? She had, was hers?
Which one was Bree?
She was the burn victim.
Yeah,
she had the fear
of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So she did a thing, and it looked terrible.
It was terrible.
And she kept talking about, man, I love working by myself. I don't have to have other teammates, and I can show all my work. And
she put so much effort into painting that mask.
Yeah, and everyone else is just kind of whispering, like, did you see that paint job?
The teeth are coming through weird.
The teeth weren't even coming through weird. They weren't lined up, and they were these little baby teeth. They weren't.
It was
odd
looking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were, what did they say? It was a cute little puckery baby face or something?
Yeah, it's like it's got a baby face. It doesn't look scary or whatever. And, you know,
cheeked.
I'm rooting for Athena and everything, but man, was her thing bad with the fear of being tied up. Is just this chick swinging a rope. It was so bad.
It showed her inexperience, and even the perfectly groomed Glenn Hedrick said that she put the ribs in backwards.
Yeah,
like they were just poking out instead of going in.
Right, and I have no idea why one of the eyes was like swollen.
I thought maybe she was having an allergic reaction. Like
she got stung by a bee or something. But Glenn Hetrick, the way that guy looks cracks me up every time. When they show the beginning of every episode and it goes, with judges, Glenn Hetrick. And it shows him, he's kind of like looking into the camera, all kind of like badass, you know.
He's kind of got that Renee Zellweger face. It's almost kind of like this perfectly posed, like, duck face.
I love the way he just looks into the camera. But, you know, his whole look with his perfect two bangs that come down, you know.
Yes. And the touch of white.
Every time they show his arms, I'm trying to look at what the hell are those tattoos? I can't tell what it
is. Were they tattoos or was it a design in the, like, a see-through shirt?
No, those are tats.
Okay.
Those are tats.
I was in there looking at it, too, going, I couldn't.
It's like, is that, like, circuitry? Is he a robot? I don't know. But I did think it was cool that they had world-famous cinematic makeup guy, Tom Savini, Bill.
From my hometown, Tom Savini.
All I could think was, come on, sex machine! But
I like that he took it seriously.
Yeah.
He was really into it. I almost wished he... I mean, granted, he wasn't real entertaining. He didn't really have a chance or anything. But I think that's really who you need on this. Maybe replace Glenn Hedrick with Tom Savini.
Well, I think Glenn Hetrick's a real makeup guy. I say get rid of George Papadopoulos.
Yes, he needs to go back to take care of Nan and Webster.
But you know what? I did think it was cool because I learned something where Sue said that Tom Savini runs one of the best like makeup schools. And she goes, and I went there. So I thought that was pretty cool. But let's go ahead and check out this clip where highlights.
Hello, Bree.
What? Oh my god.
This is the start of your next spotlight challenge.
So creepy.
You have 15 minutes to wait the others to leave the house.
That's not creepy. That's oh the speak god. And
I'm
spell.
I'm gonna get dressed in 15 minutes with all these girls, so I panic.
Here we are in the middle of the night in front of this abandoned hospital, and it's just really creepy.
Welcome to Linda Vista Community Hospital. This place was shut down years ago. It's now considered one of the most haunted hospitals in America.
By who?
This week, we each create your very own horror villain.
Oh, wait.
Scrawled on these walls are some very disturbing phobias. Now, each of you will have to select one, and your makeups should reflect that fear. Let's see who's going to pick first. Sue.
Hatophobia.
Hatophobia is the fear of hell.
Oh, I want that one.
You picked it.
Some of them are
I'm afraid
obvious.
Of hell.
I decided to be a little daring and pick something that I had no idea what it was.
Xyrophobia?
The fear of razors.
Ooh.
Fear of xylophones.
Athena.
You wouldn't be able to watch
The fear
nightmares.
Of being bound or tied up. Our special guest judge
I'm
this
a
week,
study Eastern
Tom
European.
The good part about being in a solo challenge, I'd say, is the fact that I'm the one sculpting it, I'm the one painting it, and I get to do it all me.
She realizes her ear sculpt is.
No, she doesn't realize it because she's been lovingly painting it for about 3 hours.
Who do you think is doing really well right now?
Honestly, I've been so into my own thing.
Oh, really?
I have not had 10 seconds to even look around.
Well, I noticed that you always tend to sit next to Becky.
No, I don't. That's an insult to even think that I would care about her.
Oh.
Why do I like that desk? Because it's closest to the products. I've been in the top twice already. I could care less what she's doing, honestly.
Yeah.
Bree sat all day long next to me. Bree said she was confident all day long. I am confident. I feel good about it. This is good. This is a great makeup.
There's how many of us? 11? And 10 of them are good in different ways, you know? And then there's this one. I'm not very impressed with Bree. She really doesn't have lab skills. She's a little too overconfident in her abilities, which is
I'm
always,
this guy's
you
next.
Know, can
next
lead you to a disaster.
Some of the villains are a joke. Maybe they would work better at a Halloween party, but to me, yeah, it was making me more comfortable
serious.
At where my makeup is.
This anatomy concerns me a lot. These teeth are so far out.
Well, the judges have scored your creation, so let's find out what they thought. Bree, let's talk to you.
So, Bree, what were you thinking of when you did this scenario out here?
I don't know, like the cheeks were melted away and you could see the inside of her mouth.
But they're not even in the right shape, honey. You could see her whole mouth. How was that supposed to work?
I don't know where this went so wrong. I had hoped for a lot more.
It's that little cutesy face. Look, it's so cute. It's hard to inspire fear.
It's awful.
I'm just utterly in shock. Because honestly, I think it looks like something you don't want to come across in a dark alley.
Bree has gotten really lucky because she's been with some really good artists. And today, chipmunk cheeks with the teeth.
Anatomically, it's just not right. You know?
Bree. You had good ideas, but your makeup suffered from poor execution. The person that's going home tonight is... Bree.
Ah, Bree's gone. I love what, whenever they do the... I wanted to call attention to this because I notice it every time I watch it. When they show the part where they bring out the guy, their makeup for the first time and show them, and they do that music, and they're posing or whatever, they do this, the worst morphing effects I've ever seen to show the transformation, and it's awful. It is just, it looks so bad. I don't know why they...
You don't even take the time to measure the height and set the camera. It's like one shot is so completely different from the other that they'll actually shrink in size.
Yeah, it's just like, it just looks awkward.
I don't need the morph. Just before and an after.
Yeah, show time lapse of them working on their face real quick or something.
That too.
Don't do the morph thing. It looks just stupid.
There was a lot of stupid in this episode. I mean, I liked the idea of creating villains, but some of them just had nothing.
You know,
like,
I was
the one girl totally ripped off Pan's Labyrinth for the fear of eyes.
I thought when you gouge your eyes out, like, have
yeah, and then she had, was holding, like, it looked like gumballs.
She had a sack of eyes or something, or like eyes on a twig, I don't know, but...
And the guy that they were fawning over, the guy that did the fear of ice, it was good work, but like Tom Savini said, there was no iciness to it.
It just looked like bark or something.
It honestly looked like burnt wood. It just didn't look right.
I don't think there's anything that I was like, whoa. Sometimes you do see them and it's like, man, that looks pretty good, but...
I thought the Tooth Fairy thing was cool. It deserved to win.
There's something about the teeth
like
did creep me out.
The frozen guy, you know, when his mask was peeling off and then you figure out, oh, he was allergic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was sweating. He was allergic to it. Great.
And the one girl, Becky, said she did a good job with the parasites. I can't root for her, so I don't
care. I can't stand her. And I thought it was terrible. The face thing was cool with, like, the various teeth, but that's... You know, it is what it is, but I cannot stand her. Last week I kept calling her Athena for some reason, but she's just such a bitch. Yeah. And then she's like, oh, I'm going to go around and help everyone. I see some people are struggling, so I'm going to go help them take this out. And Jerry, in his epic wisdom, decides, you know, I'm going to pour another mask.
I know, Jerry. What did he do? I'm trying to remember.
His was the mad doctor, the electricity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
He got the two LED lights on the ends of the fingers.
Jerry's a virus.
Do you remember they were like, oh, you know, you're going to do circuitry and lights and stuff? He's like, yeah. Ooh, that's going to be pretty good. And he's like, oh, shit. Couldn't you tell? He was like, damn it. I don't know what the hell to do.
Yeah, it has absolutely it had nothing to do with the burns. Like electrical burns, it was just like I didn't even get the concept. The concept was bad.
There was nothing creative about it. I would have just thought of the idea of like, hey, he's been in the electric chair or something. I don't know, and he's been through electrocution or something. Just something somewhat interesting.
Strike or something.
Yeah, just be imaginative or something.
That's really all it comes down to on this show, because it's not like you can do research on what it looks like. You know, you can't actually burn like. Pig skin or something to
and
see.
That's what the girl Bree.
If you had a, they all have little iPads. You could look
do they?
Up. Yeah,
but the girl Bree, I think the teeth were so bad they had to get rid of her. If she wouldn't have had those teeth, they would have gotten rid of somebody else. You know,
Jerry's
a virus. You guys,
yeah, you didn't.
Jerry's a virus.
The little iPads, and they were looking up something the first episode.
They always do that. It's probably the new sci-fi face-off app. Download it now.
And so
I thought it was funny that this week during Top Chef they did that, where they're like, download the Bravo app to watch Last Chance Kitchen. I was like, no. No thanks.
Speaking of Top Chef, let's check it out. They have to make pancakes.
We arrive into the Top Chef kitchen, and there's Padma with about 80,000 pancakes. I mean, I have never seen this many pancakes on a table before.
For your quick fire today, you'll be making a favorite food of our guest judge.
100.
Pancakes. And here comes our judge. Oh. Hi, Pee-wee.
Hi, Padma.
How was your ride?
Exhausting. Worked up an appetite.
Oh, good.
I'm really excited to be here and starving.
For your quick fire, you have 20 minutes to make pancakes. Let your imaginations run wild.
I love pancakes. I mean, I'm not going to marry one, but I love them anyway. So be creative.
I would have done
dress them up. Make them exciting, happy, funny, and delicious, most of all. Chai's up.
Hands up, utensils down.
Oh, my God.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
This is Minnie Mouse. It's a ricotta pancake with peach compote, blackberry, and some basil.
That's all?
Yeah, that's all.
Probably the best pancake I've ever had. Delicious.
They're confetti pancakes with a blackberry sauce, cocoa nibs, banana, and a little whipped cream. I've never made anything like this in my life.
I'm going to have a piece of confetti stuck between one of my
teeth. Oh, no.
I have to say, best pancake I've ever had.
Thank you, Pee Wee.
So it varies black pepper with a rolled pancake and champagne Dippin' Dots.
I have an open mind
and an open mouth.
This is my first time making pancakes.
Ooh.
Probably can't tell, though. I'm hoping. I have to say, this is the best pancake I've ever had.
Thank you.
I made a ricotta pancake. Inside is a little bit of whipped creme fraiche, and on the bottom you have Marcona almond and anise cookies.
We just hit the cookie. I have to say, this is the best pancake I've ever had.
Thank you.
And blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, some bacon. There's brulee marshmallow.
I have to say, it's the best pancake I've ever had.
Haley, how do you think our chefs did in their pancake quickfire?
I think they did fantastically overall.
Who's our winner today?
Padma, I'm going to have to say I'm going to go with the person who made the best pancake I've ever tasted. This person changed it up a little bit, did something that surprised me, and I thought the whole thing was very original and creative.
Should I tell her who it is?
Yeah, who is it?
Ed.
Aw, I was waiting for it to be Amazing Larry.
Is this something you could share with the rest of us, Amazing Larry?
Your pancake. I would have made an Amazing Larry pancake.
I know. I did think it was funny that they gave them bikes and made them ride around to,
oh my
to get
God.
Food. And then they had to go to a restaurant and ask if they could use the kitchen. And that, what's that one girl, Lindsay? She's so like...
She's such a flake.
She's so uptight and tightly wound.
Yeah, she's very, very tightly wound.
She said, can I use your kitchen? I don't know if you have what I have. I'll be right back. And she left. And then the other girl, Sarah...
She goes to scout another kitchen. Like, it's going to change anything.
Yeah, and she comes back and they're like, sorry, this girl's got it. She's like, oh, it's unacceptable. She's getting so upset, but... I thought Pee-wee had some pretty funny lines as he was trying the food.
All the chicken? I was like, holy shit, everyone did chicken.
Yeah. At least the one guy, Ed, he tried to do shrimp, but they couldn't find any. Didn't you think it was funny? The one guy said, hey, I need you to make some eggs real quick. And he's like, what? And he's like, two eggs over easy. He's like, oh, yeah. Okay. And he starts making them for the guy. That was pretty funny.
If the pancake thing intrigued me because what Ed did was... And I can't stand Ed. I hate to give him any credit whatsoever because he's just a condescending, arrogant butthead. But when I was a kid, my favorite thing about pancakes was that first pancake that went in and there was too much oil in the pan and it would like fry the edge.
Uh-huh.
It was almost like a funnel cake taste to it. And that's genius to do a little pancake that's just that.
Right.
That fried, crunchy edge.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, oh, I want that. I want to try that so
I
bad.
Think at
in
this
fact,
point,
my mouth started watering when he was saying and what it was in the clip.
I think I'm rooting for the guy Paul, I think his name is. The
Paul.
Asian dude? Not Ed, but the other dude.
Oh, yeah. He's very unassuming and confident. I like him.
He seems like a cool dude.
I was disappointed that Grayson went because I didn't necessarily agree with him.
Right. Well, let's
because
check
she
out.
Was my favorite.
Yeah, I liked her stuff about the meatball last week. She's kind of giving Tom a hard time.
But she's funny, and she's kind of lighthearted, and all the other women are so catty and tightly
Sarah
wound.
And just drive me nuts.
Like a meatball?
Yeah, let's check this out.
Chefs, you have 10 minutes to talk to Pee-wee about his likes and dislikes. Good luck, and see you at the Alamo. Bye, Pee-wee.
Bye-bye, now.
What's
your favorite? I like lots of different foods. Like, I like chicken. Sometimes I'll have an egg salad sandwich. I eat healthy as much as I can. Spicy food. I like non-spicy food. I like American food. I like ethnic food.
Not allergies.
Well, let's find out tomorrow. Ooh, my throat's starting to swell.
What did you tell the chefs that you liked?
I'm guessing chicken is going to be on the menu because I mentioned chicken, ethnic food, spicy food, so...
I can't wait to see what the chefs bring out.
Pee-wee, what do you cook at the Playhouse?
We made cheese balls one time, parfaits. My favorite was ice cream soup. I almost suggested it. I'm willing to arm wrestle anybody for any of this if you want.
I know. I have to say, I think they did a pretty amazing job from the look of it anyway.
Let's try Sarah's egg salad.
I'm sure when you told her about egg salad, you had a very different idea.
Yeah.
Probably the little chopped up eggs and the mayonnaise.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic egg salad.
I thought her eggs were cooked beautifully, and I really like the use of a chicken skin vinaigrette. Sort of genius.
It's a festive, fun-looking dish. Simple thing. It was just no salt and pepper. Yeah, it's really bland.
Where's the salt for this?
You know, I really like this dish. They look like little boats. And I have to say, when I take a big bite out of it and I get that gorgonzola cheese, it tastes delicious. And then it has, is it pork?
Beef.
It tastes like chicken.
Chicken's slightly odd to me.
I agree with Pee-wee. The texture of the chicken's a little weird. It's just on the edge of being undercooked.
I bet you never saw yourself saying, I agree with Pee-wee today. I thought it was delicious, but I have a lot of childhood issues with runny yolk that, I'd have to lay down to talk to you about.
Did it ever catch you?
It was running.
Pee-wee, were you happy with your lunch?
I was extremely happy. Everybody did something I liked.
The fact that they were running around town on bikes in kitchens that they didn't even know, I thought that was really cool. And considering all of that, they put out some really beautiful food.
You know, once a week we should have lunch. This is fun.
I'd love to.
So now when you think of the Alamo, what will you think of?
Chicken!
A lot of chicken.
I know you are, but what am I?
I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say, Matt Subby, it sticks to you.
Infinity.
Damn!
You ready to get back to judges' table?
I'm very, very excited to sit in judgment of all these people. Guilty!
Grab your bike. We'll see you there.
Tom, you're in the basket.
Lovely.
Where are you, ladies?
I have a few more drinks.
I didn't want to say this in front of all the contestants, but I thought that they all failed and that all their dishes needed ketchup.
Ketchup was not what I was craving.
I like that. They all needed ketchup. It's pretty goofy that they had Pee-wee on, but I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I always liked Pee-wee. I mean, it was one of my go-to Saturday morning shows as a kid, Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, and Pee-wee's Big Adventure, I've seen it a million times. I love it. It's a perfect movie as far as I'm concerned.
It's just sad to see him getting older, like putting on a little bit more makeup. The hair is just a little bit receded. And it's like, oh, Pee-wee's getting older. No, my childhood is disappearing.
Yeah. But I love Pee-wee. Good stuff.
He's fantastic.
Night, a big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
And he's really, you know, it's funny because all the kids and older, you know, that were either fans of the movie or the TV show are now adults, and his career has had this renaissance because of the nostalgia of it.
Right.
And, you know, he went through a tough, I would have to say, about 15 years where he tried to reinvent himself just as an actor, but nothing was ever as popular as Pee-wee. And I'm glad he gets to bring it back.
Yeah, it is cool that he's had this resurgence. You know,
did anybody really care about him? You know, masturbating in a porn theater. I mean,
let's
honestly,
begin,
even when it happened, it
shall
was just
we?
Like.
Well, it's,
so
he didn't hurt anyone.
Well, it's kind of like I remember people joking, like, "Isn't that what you're supposed to do in porn theaters?" I don't think they have porno theaters anymore, which is kind of seedy and creepy. The fact that it's a place you go to, but I don't know
with other people.
I don't judge the guy. I mean,
no, I don't think he deserved the ire that he got.
Yeah, but the fact is, he has a kid show on television. He's masturbating. Oh, my God. Pull his show off the air.
Damn.
Let's boycott this thing. Let's get the soap companies to cancel their endorsements. Oh, my God.
You don't think Optimus Prime masturbates?
You know what you need? Shakabuku.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I know like those Autobots are jerking off left and
right.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
There's
no
only
girl.
One woman on the ship.
Yeah, and they're hanging out with
Spike?
Megan Fox? Come on!
Oh, yeah. The real... Oh, jeez. Yeah.
And then the Victoria's Secret model, and later...
It's awful.
And her 3D butt.
The 3D butt. Now, Bill, I want to talk about Justified. We never talk about it.
Justified!
Love the show. I mean, dude, every week the show is awesome, isn't
so
it?
So good. I mean, I've said it before. If they were going to do another Star Wars, you cast Timothy Olyphant as Han Solo. You just do. He's got that, like, that cocky confidence, and he's really quick-witted. I love Justified.
Yeah, I do too. And it has such funny dialogue every week that just cracks me up. And this week on the episode, you've seen this week's episode, right?
Yes. I watch it the night of. I let it tape, and then I play it back.
Yeah, Heather and I do too. I have to watch it that night. Or no, actually, Southland also. I have to watch that the night it airs.
That is that's a show I really need to get into. I bought the first season of it. And I watched like the first two episodes and thought it was really good. And then it just kind of fell off my radar.
Every week that show just shocks the hell out of me. I'm like, Jesus, this show. I bet I love it. It's fantastic. Southland's such a good show, Steven. But Justified, great show too. Like Pruitt-Taylor Vince was a guy this week who runs a pawn shop.
God, I was hoping he would be one of the big bads this season.
Yeah, there's a scene where he makes a guy play roulette. Russian roulette.
Harlan roulette.
He goes, no, we're playing Harlan roulette. You don't just try it once. You just keep pulling the trigger. Man, there's so many tense scenes on there. But
and when that guy snaps and starts shooting back, or, you know,
starts pulling the trigger
back at him, I was like, oh, shit.
You shouldn't have done that, boy.
Yeah.
But those friggin' every episode when it ends, I go, I'm never going to Kentucky for as long as I live.
I've driven through Kentucky, and I can tell you that's Kentucky.
I don't want to encounter any Dixie Mafia guys. But in this episode, James LeGros is supposed to kill Raylan, Timothy Oliphant's character. And it's funny when he shows up at his house and he goes, I just need to go to my room for a second. And he goes, all right. And he's like, you didn't go in my house, did you? Or he says, you could have gone in. And he goes, and Raylan tells a story about, you never enter a man's house if you're not invited. And it's this poignant story or whatever. So he goes in. He's like, God, hell, I'll be there in a second. Because, you know, he's looking for his gun because he's going to come out and kill Raylan. And he comes out and he goes, well, and he goes,
I love how he keeps going, damn it.
Damn it. Because he's, you hear shuffling around. He's looking for his gun because he needs to kill Raylan. And he comes out and he goes, were you looking for this? And he goes, hey, I thought you said you'd never enter a man's house if he wasn't home. He goes, well, that was just a story, you know.
You know, I don't know if we've said this, or maybe you already know this, but a really funny point of trivia is that James LeGros actually played Raylan Givens in a 1997 television adaptation of Pronto.
That's awesome.
The first, I think it's the first book, like the first full book all about Raylan Givens.
That's cool. Was it Fire Down Below, or was it just a different story with that character?
No, it was Pronto. It was an adaptation of the book Pronto.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, I had no idea until later on I was looking on Wikipedia, just because I wanted to know. I know there was another story, like another book or something that he's working on.
Right.
And I wanted to see what, cause I've read all of the other ones, the short stories and the novels.
Oh, that's cool.
And because I just love Justified so much and I love the character. But I saw that and I was like, holy shit, that's like mind blowing to me that then this week you got him.
Yeah. And then
playing off one another.
The week before they had the Karen Sisko thing.
Yeah, that you didn't know. At first, I was like, I didn't realize what was going on because they didn't say, they never said Sisko. They just had her married name.
Right.
Karen and then Hill. Whenever he tossed her that baton, right. I was like, oh.
Well, what's funny in this, I have a clip here when Raylan tells James LeGros to call Pruitt-Taylor Vince and say, I killed him, but I've been shot. Help me. And he's like, all right, we'll be there, whatever. Because, you know, he's just going to go there and kill James LeGros, too, right?
Yeah.
So he shows up with his right-hand man, and Raylan's like, hey, how's it going? He's like, oh, hey, you know, because she's supposed to be dead. And he pretty much says, well, you know what? I surrender, and I'm going to turn, I'm going to, you know, have some information you can use so I go free. And his henchman's like, no way, that's not fair if he can.
My favorite part, though, is when he calls out the henchman. He's like, and your buddy in the back there that stepped on every branch.
Yeah, let's check this out. This is what I love about the show.
Marshall, you looking well?
Oh, thanks. Feel pretty good. I bet you're looking for Wade Messer.
Have you, haven't seen him, have you?
Oh, yeah. He's right there, handcuffed in the back seat of my car.
Not true. Whatever he's been telling you.
Yeah, he sounded pretty convincing.
Oh, come on. You're not going to take an addict's word for it.
I think the question you should ask is whether I care if you ride out of here, cuffed in the back of my car, or get carried out of here in a coroner's bag. The answer is me and Dead Owls don't give a hoot.
You going to shoot me?
Look, I'll take out my gun and put a bullet through your heart before you raise your weapon. Then I guess I got to wait for your partner to finish sneaking around back. You tell him to step on every twig and branch he passed.
All right, you know he's there. There's still two of us and one of you.
More like one and a half. Look at him. He's stoned. What'd you even bring him for?
Hey, Marshall. Now, listen. Let's take it easy. Maybe there's another solution to all this.
Yeah? Put that down. Let's hear it. I got somewhere else I want to be.
Somewhere more important than here with me?
Thinking of buying a house.
Really? What neighborhood?
The greater Lexington area of Kiss My Ass.
What if I gave up some friends up in Frankfurt?
Your friends got names?
How about Wynn Duffy?
Say we're getting somewhere. Now I just need you to put down your guns.
You heard the man there, Wally. Put your gun down.
Well, you saying he could just make a deal and skate just after all the shit he's done?
Put the gun down.
Well, it's too bad you don't know what's going on up in Frankfurt. You can make your own deal.
Well, I might not know about what's going on up there, but I do know what he's doing down here, like how he killed JT just for sport
Wally,
of it.
You keep your mouth shut.
Well, you know, Wade and I saw him do it. We buried him ourselves.
All right, buddy, Marshall,
put the gun down.
I am officially turning myself in, and I can guarantee you, whatever these two addicts are accusing me of, they are, in fact, responsible
Beckett,
for themselves.
Put that gun down.
I'll turn myself in, Marshall, long as you kill Fogel.
All right.
Marshall ain't going to shoot me, both you dumb you. Shit. He needs me.
Yeah, well, he might not, but I will.
Put your guns down, both of you. Messer, you got that phone on you?
Yeah.
Dial 911.
911. You let him shoot me. I can't die here.
Shit.
They killed each other. I love it.
Gaping hole in his chest.
911. Oh, I love it. All the criminals are just, they're idiots, which is funny.
Yeah, and even Boyd's cast of characters with his Aryan buddy and Raylan's dad, they are incompetent.
The main guy, Boyd, his henchman is Herc from Friday Night Lights, and his name is Devil.
Yes. What's his name?
Devil.
Devil.
And he's always getting smacked in the head, yes. You know, or hit over the head with a frying pan. Or
I
whatever.
Love the scene where Boyd takes back his it's not his brother. His cousin, right?
Yeah, he takes his bar back.
His bar back, yeah.
That is great.
All this stuff with Boyd and I don't know where it's going. The Boyd and the Meg's son.
They're trying to take over. Like they're trying to start their own business, basically.
I just want more Raylan. More Raylan's fine with me. And it's so strange because Raylan's ex-wife, current fling, is in Californication season. And it's such a crazy character. It's so different than what I'm used to.
Cool.
Like, wait a second.
It's cool seeing her play so different on there. But it's good stuff. I like Justified. Everyone should check it out.
Yeah, it's a fantastic show.
Did you watch this week's Alcatraz with the bank robber guy?
I did.
with the weird kind of he used kind of that baton thing, kind of like the guy from No Country for Old Men.
Yeah,
you know?
But he didn't carry around the air tank, the pressurized
no, it was
air
just
tank.
Like,
used
was it spring loaded or something? But
I don't know what it was, but it was just as deadly.
This show is really can be yeah. really violent, can't it? When he shoots the hole through the dude's hand, that's pretty
it's
violent.
It's incredibly gory. I'm shocked at some of the scenes, like the murder scenes that they can get away with.
Yeah, this was very flashback centric. This episode with the guy in prison, and he had the newbie cellmate, and he's trying to show him the ropes and how he had this thing with the warden, and he took something of his, and you find out it's just this empty tin box. It's just kind of weird. And
just rubbing the name on it like it meant something.
And then
well, that's all his memories he had of being from being a kid
and having nothing. And you know, the guy that he was showing the ropes ended up taking over his business. You know, he outsmarted him.
Yeah,
he kind of conned him, but But
hey, this is getting dirty.
The guy would steal from lockboxes and banks, right? Mm-hmm. And he stole this key that we've seen before. We've seen another giant key. And in this scene here, Soto, and is her name Jones, her character?
Yeah.
The girl
well,
character?
I think her actual name is Sarah Jones, but I'm not sure what her character is.
Oh, the actress's name is Jones. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they want to know what this is, so they're kind of giving Sam Neill a hard time. And then he takes it into this weird room of scientists. Did you
were Nerd
you guys,
room.
Were you guys getting a Lost vibe there?
Yeah.
Dharma-ish, maybe a little?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's check this out.
Four down and a hell of a lot more to go.
So, you good?
Yeah. You?
Hauser yelled at me about my driving.
Well, thanks for having my back.
Always. What'd the bank say?
Sweeney only opened one box. This is what was inside.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I believe you have something that doesn't belong to you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Only if you tell me what it's for.
Fine. Some other day.
Psych.
Well, that didn't work. Guess he trusts the scientists more than us.
We have another one. And the one we got from Sylvain?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps molecular analysis can provide some real insight as to how the prisoners jumped.
Whoa, why is he calling it a jump? That's interesting. When is the observer going to show up?
So, what do we know?
Amalgamate. Trace colloidal silver content, cold forged. The bidding codes are unique to both keys.
And the shafts look to be laser cut.
Laser?
But laser cutting didn't exist when the prison was open.
All right. I want thermal imaging of all the corridors and tunnels on the island to find out what the hell these things open.
Where are you taking me?
I like this creepy scene, though.
The recent palace crews caught the eye of a certain subterranean visitant.
Creepy door.
Who desires.
Yeah, I still
want to
know what's in it.
Your future just got a heck of a lot brighter, kid.
It's the source of light.
Don't be shy.
Don't pull the plug out.
He says he wants to have a parlay with a little underground dweller or whatever. It's a chud he's going to talk to.
Palaver?
Yeah, he's going to have a palaver. Very interesting. I like whenever they set up mysteries like that.
Yeah, I enjoy this show. It's it, at this point, it's it doesn't. It, I'm not completely sold.
Yeah, no, no, not by any means. But
I enjoy.
I'm coming back every week.
Yeah, I'm
still waiting for that.
Keep me watching.
I'm still waiting for that.
One, I find the girl incredibly attractive. And I love anything Jorge Garcia does because he's just so relatable.
And I love that I love that it's violent. I like the flashbacks. The creepy warden, I love that.
And E.B. Tiller, man, he is a screwy dude.
And what about when the dude stabs him in the leg with a pin?
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
Ah! And all that blood is gushing out, you know? It's this prime time.
He needs to hit an artery.
He needs to call 911.
911.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but
I hope he remembers to press send.
I'm still waiting for... There's going to be an episode, I hope, that grabs a hold. Because I got to admit, Persons of Interest has gotten a lot better, Bill.
It has.
It has, and I like the...
It's because it's shrugging off its... the shit that they kind of brought together with the pilot, you know, always being hunted by the female cop,
yeah.
And then the...
And I do... You know what's funny? Oh, my God. The dickhead guy who's after Jim Caviezel was the dad in Chronicle.
Holy shit, you're right.
Oh, my God. The bad guy from Persons of Interest, or I guess he's a dick. He's the dick in Chronicle.
He's the dick.
Yeah, dick. Yeah.
You're pathetic.
Hey, but yeah, totally. That's cool. Hey,
I've seen that guy in stuff before too.
Yeah.
I don't. He's one of those character actors that just kind of disappears into stuff.
Hey, wait! A double-bladed lightsaber?
No, he doesn't have that. But but I'm what I like about Alcatraz mostly is the production value. It's a great looking show, and
it
sounds
is.
Great.
You know? I enjoy it. I just wish it was a little... it could have really benefited from a strong pilot.
I need a more... I want some more pulp in there. You know what I'm saying? And I want more Sam Neill. I want to... There's got to be
an
episode where Sam Neill...
Sam Neill.
Weird. But... Sam Neill... You know how Walter is on Fringe? I need a character like that on this show.
If just... you have Sam Neill in your television show... You give him juicy material.
I mean, I did like when he shot that one dude in the hand that time, the sniper. She plugged him in. And then the child killer guy shot him in the head. That was awesome. But
yeah, I like that was my favorite because it was like, oh, well, I guess he doesn't have to bring them in alive.
Yeah, he's kind of like, you know what? I've had enough of this shit. Bam,
yeah.
Shoots him in the head.
You're despicable.
Yeah, we don't need you. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
And I saw that guy in something else the other day. I was like, oh, it's that guy again.
Oh, I love that. That guy is great. He was on the fantastic episode of Fringe where
you know,
if see events happen.
Kevin,
wrong dog, Jethro.
If Kevin Dillon had a mongoloid offspring, it would be that guy.
The guy's very interesting looking. I can see why he gets those things. I don't know if he looks like a mongoloid, though.
Well, a slightly off.
We let the fate decide.
Ah, stop. All right, let's talk about Fringe. Fringe had this kind of girl who could predict deaths episode. And I swear, hasn't there been an episode kind of like this before?
Yeah, I was getting a very familiar vibe from it.
It's just another throwaway kind of.
Yeah, but
it was very throwaway.
It was, but there's a.
I said kind of.
I like the stuff where Olivia is learning about the Observer, and when Peter's like, "Oh, an Observer," and she goes, "What? A what?" And he's like, "Oh, you don't know what he's called? He's called an Observer." But I did like this one moment where Walter talks about time and seeing the future. This was interesting, so I made a clip out of it. Let's check it out. What do you guys say?
Fascinating. The theta of one wave's in your occipital lobe are remarkably active. And also, your brain seems to be drawing elevated levels of both oxygen and blood.
Oh. Meaning what, Walter?
Billy and I always had a theory that some traumatic events echo backward in time. Put simply, some future events ripple backwards. Well, not in a way that we're consciously aware of, but sort of like vibrations. And perhaps Your brain is uniquely sensitive to these vibrations, so it's possible that's the hum that you hear. Have you ever been able to control this ability?
That's not how it works. These images I see, they're like dreams. At first they're vivid, but then they fade. That's why I draw them. But it wouldn't matter anyway. Whatever I see, somehow it always happens.
I felt sorry for this poor girl by the end of the episode, and she has that drawing where she's sitting by the lake with her dad.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That was some sad shit, man.
There was something weird going on with the girl, though. Like, I couldn't tell if she was older than she was playing, or she's just... She looked older, like, than the character was supposed to be or something.
Slightly odd. They did good casting there. They made her kind of this creepy girl, you know?
Yeah, she has a very unique look about her.
As long as Darth Maul is around.
Ah, shut up!
Well, I guess because of all the...
I'm very, very excited to sit in judgment of all these people.
I guess they call it torture that she went through, you know, being tested on, kind of, I guess, you want to call that aging her or whatever.
Right.
Maybe Nina Sharp is a C word, though, man.
What is the deal? What is her motivation for being
What I'm trying to figure out.
God, and I don't even know if the show's going to be around past this season.
Yeah, why is she, in this universe, why is she so, like, evil and nasty and manipulative?
I know.
And she's over there like, I'm going to make you soup. And I'm like, no, don't eat her
soup.
She's
like, you're like a mom to me. I love you. And I'm like, no, she's an evil bitch.
Yeah.
But another thing, I saw Jose Molina on Twitter. You know, I follow him. He's a writer on Terra Nova. And he goes, don't know if Terra Nova will be back, guys, but be sure and write Fox. I'm like hell, I want Fringe to come back. I'm not going to wait
for Terra Nova.
Freaking Terra Nova.
Honestly, that show was such a massive disappointment.
I've got the last three episodes, Bill. I still haven't watched them.
Oh, they're so bad. the saving grace of the show is Colonel Quaritch.
But come on, we want Fringe back. I almost wanted them to do where, like, they go, okay, Fox, can we have one last season of Fringe and wrap everything up? We're going to have a nice 2-hour finale that'll blow everyone's mind. They'll go, all right, we'll do it. 13
They could have done another season of Fringe, or at least half a season of Fringe, with the money they spent on the pilot for Terra Nova.
Yeah, no kidding. They could save so much money by canceling Terra Nova. Do it now. I want to see more.
I would not shed a single tear the day those sets are striped. what a massive mistake.
What am I going to do without my Fringe science? You know what I mean?
Science is amazing.
There's still plenty of books out there. I mean, I love reading them. I love all that crazy shit.
That's right. What are you talking about? Wait, where did
Fringe science books.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. It's okay. I just love crazy shit in general.
Oh, my stomach.
Oh, I'm sorry. Man, my stomach's really bothering me.
All right, Bill. What do you say we do some news, huh?
Let's do it.
Let's do it, Steven.
Let's do it.
Wipe out.
Hey, wait. A double-bladed lightsaber?
Shut up. I'm going to kill that guy.
Hey, they cut him in half like they did his saber.
In spectacular 3D.
Oh, the news is in 3D, Bill?
Yes, it is.
All right, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, some people have a bucket list, and some people have a not necessarily audacious bucket list. Yes, a woman who allegedly stole a Chevy work truck with a cherry picker led police on a high-speed chase through Seattle Tuesday night. Police believe the woman found keys in the Elcon truck that was parked and started the truck and drove off. The King County Sheriff's deputy spotted the truck heading north, followed it to Shoreline, where the woman turned around and began driving back towards Seattle.
Ooh. Yes.
By the time she turned around, the woman was being chased by the deputy, a Washington State patrol trooper, and officers from both Seattle and Shoreline Police Departments. The woman eventually entered a Home Depot parking lot where she crashed into a light pole and came to a stop. That'll happen. According to the deputy at the scene, the woman was laughing when she was pulled out of the truck. She suffered cuts to her face, was taken to the medical center for treatment. She said that it was just one of those things she's always wanted to do.
What?
Yeah, she just wanted to drive a truck with a cherry picker on it.
Aw.
She's only in her 20s. I mean, is that...
I'm freaking out even more.
Are you supposed to have a bucket list when you're 20?
No. You're not even supposed to think. You're thinking about buckets of chicken, maybe.
Or the bucket on the cherry picker.
In a bucket, dude.
I mean, most people, I think of a cherry picker, I think, oh, you know, you get in it and you go up and fix telephone lines.
I'm
going
to go up into a tree and pick some...
Yeah, pick some cherries.
Get that bucket in now.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
That's but not how it works.
I don't think, man, I want to steal one and drive it around Seattle. Maybe she was trying to get away from the carnage created by Andrew and Matt.
911.
All right. Entire town wins $950 million lottery. One guy left out.
That's you want to tell me what that means?
Oh, bummer. He was like, nah, I don't want to put my dollar in this year, this week or whatever.
Yeah. Everyone knows if you don't play the lottery, you can't win the lottery.
That's true.
Isn't that true? Oh,
guilty! So...
A man in Sodeto, Spain is really struggling under the weight of that brutal truth after his entire town won a $950 million lottery jackpot without him. Kostas Mitsotakis said he was overlooked when the Sodeto Homemakers Association went around collecting $26 from each family in town and from 17 nearby villages to put toward the El Gordo, the fat one,
shit,
which has been held since 1812. According to the publication, the town is made up of farmers and unemployed construction workers who were struggling in the current European economic crisis. But thanks to the lucky windfall, each participant walked away with at least $130,000.
Oh, that'd be good.
With some families netting millions. I wonder how they broke that up.
It's chump change!
Chump change! All right, in Hollywood, California, there was a brutal brawl among several people who just happened to be dressed as movie and TV characters in front of the Kodak Theater in Hollywood on Thursday evening.
Aren't those people always getting into trouble?
I think so. They just have problems. I think it's really funny that the picture is like this. Somebody took a picture from the roof of a building down to the street where all the cop cars are, where all the panic is. And the one guy's SpongeBob SquarePants outfit is just laying on the ground.
Oh, no.
I bet somebody just went, take that shit off. Live audio. This brawl resulted in Jack Sparrow being pepper sprayed, according to police. Jack was treated for minor injuries in the fight that reportedly included Catwoman, an alien, and a second pirate.
Creepy Earl.
Creepy Earl was there?
After the incident, Catwoman reportedly claimed the other character had been drinking and harassing her all day. That's terrible. She said she warned them to leave her alone and threatened to pepper spray him if they didn't. No arrests were made and no one was seriously hurt.
It's awful.
Wow.
You know, you don't get fresh with Catwoman.
Have you seen, like, the new Batman movie? You know, everyone wants to know what Catwoman's going to look like in it, but they put out this statue the Anne Hathaway, you know, Catwoman statue with her butt, like, just sticking out.
Poking out.
And all these guys are like, oh, man, is that what her butt's going to look like? I can't wait to see this movie.
That's an awesome butt.
Yeah, I'm totally
going to spend $300 on that diorama to put in my room.
His butt lights up.
Huh?
Is her butt light up, too? It's awesome.
Get a fat head poster of her.
I had no idea you could milk a cat. Size.
All right, Carbondale. I'm not exactly sure where Carbondale is.
Interesting.
Looks like maybe California. Or maybe Pennsylvania. Who knows? Carbondale, a city man, faces felony charges after he allegedly stabbed his brother following a dispute over a brownie Wednesday night.
California, here we come, right back where we started from.
Eric Eggs Kane.
Eggs?
Eggs.
I feel like I've been stabbed in the heart.
Was arrested by city police after he stabbed his brother Gene, who doesn't have a nickname, in the left forearm, left shoulder, and right wrist.
Holy shit.
He must have really wanted that brownie.
Thought he was going to stab me with the fork.
Eggs was upset about a brownie being cut in half. He wanted the whole thing.
Knives and stabbing weapons.
In an interview at Marion County Hospital, Gene Kane said he and his brother were arguing over a McDonald's brownie. Oh, come on.
They have brownies at McDonald's?
I guess so. When Eric punched him.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Eric then ran to the kitchen, picked up 3 steak knives.
Oh, Jesus.
He's going to do some cutting.
He couldn't just use the same one over and over again?
No, he needed 3. And slashed him. He told Sergeant Joseph Laguza. I think maybe they had some of that before they got in the brownie
fight.
That's
my pot brownie I got at McDonald's. It's like, that doesn't even make any sense. What?
Gene said he thought his brother was going to kill him. So he retaliated by throwing a television at him.
Gee, don't go throwing TVs around. That's some serious shit.
That is.
Don't waste television.
Grab another knife. Have a knife fight. Eric then fled the scene and was later arrested on Gordon Avenue.
And Zorny.
Eric Kane is charged with aggravated assault, simple assault, reckless endangerment, harassment, and disorderly conduct.
Oh,
he's being held at the Lackawanna County Prison.
Lackawanna?
So this is Jersey.
He could go visit Buddy. Am I right?
I think so.
Good old Buddy.
You have to know what I'm thinking before I think it.
And finally, in Marysville, Georgia, a Georgia farmer is recovering after being attacked by a 900-pound rabid cow.
If you don't put it, honey bunny, it ain't gonna stick.
A rabid cow?
Yes, a rabid cow. 900-pound rabid cow.
Holy shit, that sounds...
I want to see Jesse James take on a 900-pound rabid cow. Raymond Parks tells WXIA-TV that the cow headbutted him and broke some of his ribs. Parks says he was thrown into a barbed wire fence during the attack, which he feared he would not survive.
He's obviously got a drinking problem.
The cow?
I don't know. The cow or the victim? Or both?
Both. Parks says he went for his shotgun and fired 3 blasts at the animal.
Whoa!
The cow
that's awesome.
Then walked away slowly.
Oh, dude, he survived the shotgun blast?
He did. It had to be put down by a veterinarian.
Whoa, how did the veterinarian put him down? How do you top a shotgun?
The cow is not only rabid, but invincible.
Holy
Use
shit.
Use that gun that was on Alcatraz.
Art, I've got skinnies with RPGs at 12 o'clock.
Ah. Used a minigun on it?
This guy, Parks, who's in his early 70s, says the adult has led him to consider retiring from farming. Okay, I understand you should consider retiring anyways, but when dealing with a rabid cow, maybe you should have like a professional do it.
Yeah.
Like, not be like, oh, I'm going to go out and take care of the rabid cow.
Millions of rabid fans.
And cows.
What?
Yeah, don't deal with rabid cows on your own if you're over 70. And that's news for this week.
And this.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news this week. What do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do them.
Let's do them! Some DVDs!
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Woo! The DVDs, everyone!
The stars at night are big and bright!
Deep in the heart of Texas!
Yeah!
I'm rubber, your glue, whatever you say, Mount South Beast sticks to you.
Do people actually do that in Texas if you start singing that? Stop and...
It will happen.
It's a law.
Try
That's it. That's awesome. When I come there, I'm going
to
do it.
Everyone's like, oh, I don't want to do it. Deep in the hut. Yeah, you have to do it.
As long as Darth Maul is around.
Yeah.
Chill out, R2.
Yeah, chill out. All right. DVDs for February 7th, 2012.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Speak and Spell. Starting off with Anonymous.
Ooh.
Yes. A film.
Who made that?
By Roland Emmerich.
Oh.
That's an insult.
It really is.
Roland Emmerich, huh?
This is Roland Emmerich's film about... Shakespeare not being who he says he is.
Oh, Roland Emmerich did that?
Yes.
We can do this the easy way or the hard way.
I don't know what that means. So the guy who did 2012 did Independence Day and Godzilla made a Shakespeare movie?
Yes, but it's not just a Shakespeare movie. It's Shakespeare isn't who he says he is. He isn't the one that actually wrote those plays.
I'm really shaken up from this. I need some weights and a chicken sandwich, stat.
Oh, I missed that show. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
That guy was so awesome.
He really was.
I wonder if VH1 will ever bring that back.
I hope so. I miss Tool Academy so bad.
Hey. Next Blu-ray and DVD is the 50th anniversary edition of Ben-Hur. And this is I wouldn't call it bare bones, but there was a big box set. And, like an ultimate collector's edition that came out a couple months ago. And this is just the disc from it. So you can save $30 and just get the movie. Which I definitely want to get because it's one of those movies that I saw as a kid that I still love to this day. And I saw that Cinemark is actually doing a thing with a few of their XD screens where they're currently showing the new remastered edition of Ben-Hur.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I would love to see it on that massive screen.
We'll let the fate decide.
And next on Blu-ray, we have the original Casino Royale from 1967.
Ah,
the one with David Niven and Peter Sellers.
I've never seen it. Never seen it.
Yeah, it's very strange.
They think you went batshit.
Yeah, it's like people like it's like who's really James Bond kind of thing.
You better get your own fucking army, pal.
No, not that. That's Casino, Foggy.
Yeah, that's Casino.
I think he thinks that Joe Pesci's in Casino Royale, Bill.
Oh, well, maybe he is. I just don't. I'm not aware of it.
You motherfucker, you.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this the other day because I was flipping through the channels and I saw CSI on. And I was like, well, I wonder if that Quentin Tarantino episode ever came out. And here you go on Blu-ray, CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, Grave Danger, directed by Quentin Tarantino.
The answer is me and Dead Owls don't give a hoot.
I think I remember watching that episode and thinking, I can't even tell he directed this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I had, it nothing looked special. So typical for a television episode of CSI that I didn't see anything different.
In case your mama was that mouth.
Huh?
I got somewhere else I want to be.
Oh, okay. Then I'll hurry up. next on Blu-ray, we have Dangerous Liaisons from 1988.
Sounds dangerous.
this is a strange movie. I'm not a big period piece movie guy.
A Dangerous Method.
Yes, no. Dangerous Liaison.
Oh.
And this, I think Uma Thurman was in this.
She got married,
too.
Or?
Yeah, she got married to somebody named Wilson.
Gee, thanks, Jenny!
Yes, but it's that movie.
You want to tell me what that means?
Nothing, just that movie. Moving on, finally, we get a wide release of It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World, or Mad, 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 Mad World on Blu-ray. It was an Amazon exclusive for a while.
What a turkey.
Now it's going wide.
Ah.
I always enjoy that movie. It's a little overlong, but, you know, X marks the spot.
What?
You know, there's a strange cameo by the Three Stooges in that, isn't there?
There is.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're old.
Yeah. That's kind of cool, like, though.
But it is. It's.
But they
it's
don't
a
do
goofy,
anything.
It's one of those movies that I was just. It just goes on a little too long.
I'd maybe watch it for free or something. You know?
Yeah, like I would almost completely cut out the entire Milton Berle subplot because I just never found it interesting. The Phil Silvers stuff was always really strange in it.
Shit.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I did see Rat Race, though, with Seth Green.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I'm sorry.
All right, next Blu-ray, we have Lady and the Tramp, Disney's Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, I want Emma to see that. So
I'll love that.
I like Lady and the Tramp.
We are Siamese, if you please.
That's right.
We are Siamese, if you don't please.
My dog.
When I was a kid, I had the soundtrack record album, and it was like one of those clear ones with the picture in it. So, like, it was like a picture of Lady and the Tramp on one side, and
be careful where the dog shits you.
The Siamese cats on the other. I miss records.
Me too. Remember, we could open them up the gatefold or whatever.
Yes. Well, I mean, I still get vinyl, like. But I miss, like, those childhood records. Those are all in the, like, the read-along records. Mm-hmm. Or what were the like, you could get ones that were, like, a movie or a story from a cartoon. And
you know, I was thinking about this the other day. This I'm not trying to veer off the subject, but Viewmasters.
Oh, God, yeah.
You would see it, the 3D image, and I was thinking, that's why I like 3D in these Disney movies, because it reminds me of Viewmasters.
I remember when I was a kid, that the Viewmaster circles that we had were like tours of Disneyland and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember we had like the Rescuers. And
you could like see in the room, you know, because it was three-dimensional. You would like could see in another room there. And man, I wish I could go inside this thing, you know. It's really cool.
Yeah, and then the thing after Viewmaster for me when I was a kid, we had that because of my three older sisters. But then the thing for me was like these, it was like this yellow or orange cartridge that fit into this thing you would hold and put up to your eye like a camera.
I know what you're talking about.
It had a crank on the right side of it.
Yeah.
And you would crank it and you could watch a clip from a film.
I know what you speak of, sir.
Really?
What was that called? We got to find the commercial.
I don't know, but I loved that thing.
That was cool. It was like, man, this is so futuristic.
Yeah, it was like your own little like Nickelodeon thing, kind of.
Yeah, that was so cool.
It had a very distinctive looking cartridge. Like it was like a yellowish orange cartridge, and it had this red kind of wheel in the center of it that I guess the crank fit into.
I'm picturing it right now. I wish I knew what that was called. It had to have been by Playhouse or something.
Maybe Fisher Price?
Mobile? Or no, wait, what am I thinking? Play.
Swiley can dig it up.
Yeah, please. Smiley.
But it's just one of those things that I loved as a kid. I had the cartridges for like
the fate decide.
Other ones, and like if you were kind of bored, you could do it as fast as you could.
Yeah,
it's like this really fast movie
for some
going by.
I remember that, but it was like, was it like Alice in Wonderland, the Disney version, or something?
Yeah,
just something like that.
Yeah, it was all Disney. Mine were all Disney's
right
stuff. But yeah, I wish I could remember what that thing was called. But that was like one of my favorite things. Or I'd get bored and just be like, "Oh, I'll watch this for the millionth time."
Disneyland.
All right, moving on. We have I'll mention it just because I know there's people that love the movie. But Love Story, 1970, Ally McGraw. Ryan O'Neal,
I love pancakes.
Yeah, I watched this movie as a kid. My dad was like, your mom and I, this was one of the first movie we went on a date to. And I was like, okay, so I'll watch it. And I was
excited to sit in judgment of all these people.
I wished I was dying like the Ally McGraw character.
Oh. So it's like sad and like stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Boys and girls.
Dying
times here.
Man, what a dramatic pause that guy.
That is a really long dramatic pause.
It's awful.
Hey, Gwen Hedrick.
William Shatner to shame on that one.
Pathetic.
Hey.
Oh, oh, oh. Why is everyone so violent and mean tonight?
Asshole.
Hey! What's it?
What the hell?
I didn't do anything to you. I'm just doing
shakabuku.
Yeah. We all need shakabuku, Bill.
I could use some.
You know what that is?
The swift spiritual kick to the head that alters your reality forever.
Can I drink it?
That's an insult.
Oh, okay.
What?
Ooh. Here's an insult to film. Throw Mama from the Train on Blu-ray.
Ooh.
It's your cousin Patty. You don't have a cousin Patty.
Is that the only funny part in the film?
You lied to me. Yeah. That's it.
I mean, it's like a one joke dragged on for an hour and a half.
Holy shit. Yeah.
I remember watching it and being like, when is this going to end? And it's only like 88 minutes or something.
What do you think, Steven? Do you like Throw Mama from the Train?
No.
That's definitive.
No.
Unbelievable.
All right, and another film that I'll never see, The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, Part 1.
Ooh!
So, is this the Twilight Zone?
No, Twilight Saga.
Oh. Oh my god. So, Bill, are you Team Jacob or Team Edward?
I'm Team Me.
Team Me, nice.
Yeah, I cheer for myself.
That's not how it works.
To not watch.
Oh, it's not? So I have to choose one? I'll take the one that looks like a llama.
Yeah, Team Tina.
Yes, Team
From
Tina.
Napoleon, right, Steven?
Yes.
All right, and lastly...
Oh, sorry.
God.
I need some Coke there, Bill. Sorry.
That is brutal. Forgot to yawn.
That is a great stomach sound. I swear my stomach has made that sound before. Like,
Hearing that makes me want to make that sound.
Why did I eat 3 egg taquitos?
Oh. That just sounds bad.
Why did I eat 4 McDonald's hash browns?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Science is amazing.
Why did I eat a 20-piece McNugget? Yeah. That's what it would sound like. In my earlier days of like, just eating way too much and not the good stuff, I think back to it now, you know, even just 6 months ago, before I made my change, it just, man, how could you eat that shit?
Homemade meatballs!
Yeah, well, I'll eat those.
Especially after you saw, did you see the video on them making the pieces, the McNuggets?
No, but there's like a viral picture that goes around on Facebook where it looks like strawberry ice cream.
Yeah.
And that's been disproven a million times. Every time I see that, I want to go, can you just stop already?
What is that? I don't know what you guys are talking about.
It's this viral photo that people use as like a shock tactic. Be like, this is what it looks like when they make McNuggets.
They put everything in there, you know. It's
It's
everything.
It's mechanically separated, so basically it's just chicken carcass thrown in a thing, ground up, and it comes out looking like pink, ice cream.
Because it tastes so foul, they have to chemically treat it, and then it doesn't taste like chicken anymore.
Yeah.
Then they have to add in fake chicken flavoring, and then they put it through this, I guess it comes out like a meat grinder thing, and it looks like a pink shake.
Yeah. But I
got somewhere else I want to be.
I didn't know it had
Trumped-up soapbox philosophy is if people want better food, better health, you've got to pay more, and you've got to, you know, actually add back into the economy instead of just continuing to perpetuate this cheap food, cheap world kind of mentality.
Nobody eat the chicken!
Poison! The chicken is poison! Don't breathe! It can be airborne! No! Oh, devil food! Stop it! Stop that chicken!
Yeah, but it's gross.
Too loud there.
As long as Darth Maul is around.
And lastly, let's finish this shit up. Very Harold and Kumar Christmas 3D.
Kiss my ass.
Yeah, I really don't care at all about this. I enjoyed the first one just because it was so surreal and goofy and funny. It had a genuine funniness about it. And then the second one was just like, wow, this is terrible.
Well, that didn't work.
So yeah, they're going to have to do a lot to get me back in watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't work.
Like, ever since the first one, I've wanted to ride a cheetah, but...
Oh, Bill, Emma wants to say hi real quick. Yeah, okay.
Hello?
Steven, would you let Emma take over for a second?
Get out of here, Steven.
Tag team and just tapped out.
Tap out.
Thanks. All right, lift up her mic a little. Well, hello there, Emma. How you doing?
Great. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Emma.
Do you like being on the show?
Yes.
Well, we just talked about DVDs, and one of the DVDs that Bill did was Lady and the Tramp.
Ooh.
Do you want to see that?
Sure.
It's a cool Disney movie. Ooh. It's cartoon dogs.
Hey, I see them on a commercial.
Yeah. And they're eating spaghetti, and they nudge the little meatball. Isn't that cool when they nudge the meatball, Bill? That's such a, like, a iconic image.
Like, here, you can have it.
Like a meatball?
Yes,
like a meatball.
That's one of, it was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
That is cool. I want you to see that.
Okay.
All right, Bill, is that DVDs?
That's DVDs.
You want to stick around with us as we end the show, Emma?
Sure.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs this week. Awesome.
You're welcome.
I got somewhere else I want to be.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Oh. Oh, wow. That was scary, wasn't it? Was that funny, Emma? Do you like that?
Yes.
Nothing funnier than fart sounds, huh?
Someone needs to go to a gastroenterologist.
Yeah. She liked that. Oh, my stomach. Oh. Did you know that's what your tummy sounds like when it hurts?
Hey.
When you eat too many donuts or something?
Not her stomach.
My stomach.
And then you know what happens. Oh.
All at once.
You gotta wash out. It's all, you know, the science of the way your tummy works.
Science is amazing.
You're right. It is, Pedro. All right, everyone. That was episode 252 of Nowhere in Mulberry.
Wow.
Thank you for listening. Yeah, that's a lot of episodes, isn't it? You could go to nowhereinmulberry.com and you'll find a link to our forum, ninforum.com.
Cool.
And you'll find a link to us on Facebook, the Nowhere in Mulberry Fan Club.
Yay!
Yeah. Also, check out, we have our voicemail number there. It's 1-206-202-1298, where anybody can send us a voicemail, and we'll play it here on the show, and you'll be a star, an instant star, Bill.
Yay!
Yeah.
Be a star.
Yeah, that's right. And also, you know what you could do? You could send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. How cool is that? Pretty awesome. Oh, you got nothing to say anymore? Okay. Oh, my tummy hurts, Emma. Oh. Oh. Sorry, I'm just milking this now, bro. Oh, she's going. Emma, are you okay?
Yeah. I'm
Compose
okay.
yourself. You doing okay? Wait, I got to take a drink of my Coke. Oh, that was good. Bill, you need to take a drink too?
I do.
Wow, you got the mic right up to your throat?
I'm feeling a little gassy after that.
Oh! good stuff. Oh, God, I'm so nauseous. Oh. Well, Emma, thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Steven, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Could you hear him, Bill?
I could, barely.
That's the best Steven
it's
sound
at all. It's not normal.
Just kidding. Oh. I'm just so thirsty, you guys. But, Bill, thank you for being on the show. It's been fun. And it was awesome talking about Chronicle.
Ooh. Yeah, I can't wait to see it again. I don't know if I'm going to go back to the theater. Maybe I will.
There's something about it. I really enjoyed it. I really was into it. And, you know, I don't know if you've done this, but I've actually kind of held my hand out and tried to move my water bottle with my mind.
I have. I was trying to grab my coffee cup.
It didn't work.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, I don't have powers.
I think I need to think more like a Jedi.
Ooh.
As long as Darth Maul is around.
No, yeah. not that guy.
Bravo. Pod racing.
Ah, the way so.
Pod racing.
Pod racing.
Well, Anakin is really cool.
Chill out, R2.
Chill out, R2.
R2.
Hurry up, Qui-Gon.
Oh, I want to punch that guy in the face. Sorry, Emma. I shouldn't have said that. Should I have said that, Emma?
Yes.
She's frozen.
Absolutely. She doesn't want to say the wrong thing, but she knows it's right.
Here, Emma, I know it's late, but take a drink of this Dr. Pepper. Oh, Emma, wow.
She must be really thirsty.
Why are you looking like that? Oh!
You're going to have to peel her off the ceiling now.
All right, everybody. That was our show this week. We'll see you next time. Oh, yeah. Hopefully there's a next time, Bill. Oh, all right, bye, guys.
Well, let's put it this way. Pat your knives. Get out. You're off the show.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Emma.
Science is amazing.
Now this is podcasting.
I know you are, but what am I?
You have the authority to shoot me.
Guilty!
Chill out, R2.